Hey, how are you? You going to go see Gary Goldman at Largo Wednesday, the 22nd? You should. Because you're going to go thinking it's going to be great and it's going to be better than that. So, on today's show, how you doing, by the way? You all right? Huh? You are? Look at you, all grown up. Sort of. We talk about the San Antonio Club, laugh out loud. And I won't sleep unless I amends that with a few things. And remember, I always my wish is that they will hear this and think, maybe he's right. And when I mentioned two things, one, I mentioned a condo, and I thought, oh, a lot of our listeners, when we talk about it, which we will later in today's show, might not know. What does a condo mean? It just means sometimes a comedy club owns a condo, or they own it, or they rent a townhouse, and they keep the comedians there. You get to the point in your career where you don't stay in condos, but earlier in your career, a lot of comedians have stayed in condos. Matter of fact, at the San Antonio one years back, I stayed in there with the San Antonio condo with Daniel Tosh, and it was very bad then too. And we're only comparing it to other condos. And by the way, every time I say something like this, you'll hear me talk about it later in the show, I picture the owners of the club wiggling to the right and wiggling to the left. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he doesn't understand that I'm only comparing it to other condos. There are other condos as bad. There absolutely are. But there's some that are really nice. They try. Sometimes comedians probably can beat. Most of the damage that even the piggiest comedian does is topical damage. But hey, just so you know, I'm not being delusional. In the event that I'm sure comedians have broken things, but it must be doable to make it nice. Mark Anderson always made his condos nice. And when you're brand new in the business, or you're a 5-year comic, or an 8-year comic, or a 10-year comic, or whatever the reason is, you're still staying in a condo. Mark Anderson always really tried to make it nice. He took pride, and if somebody ruined it, he didn't hire them back, and he fixed the damage. Had it cleaned by a professional cleaning team that went in there. So condos can be at least some love in them. Appleton, Wisconsin, the condo, it's not in the best building, but when you go inside there, it's clean, it's immaculate, it looks like there's love in it. Colleen at the Funny Bone in Omaha puts love into her condo, so it is possible. But I think it's fair to say that, yes, I'm sure there's the way it's, you know, okay. And here's the other thing. We're going to talk about it. I talk about it for like 20 minutes today, but I thought, well, first of all, I should have explained. People go, what's a condo? Okay, that's what it is. Sometimes the club has one comedian, like the headliner might stay in a hotel, but a newer comedian might stay in the condo. But it depends what club. You know, there's all different things. Some condos you have, you share a condo with another comedian. It's like a, so anyway. And then there's one other thing I wanted to say. When, I don't know why I feel the need to say this, but I guess because when the hard stuff's, when someone has the hard stuff figured out and they miss it on the little stuff, and you also might think, isn't this a conversation I could have just had with the owners? There is some of this is, but I don't know if they'd listen. When I look at the main showroom and see that it is an airplane hangar, I don't think they're the type that would listen. I don't think they're the type that listen. But I forgot to mention one thing, and this has to do when the hard stuff is figured out, why not take it home? The food at the club, it wasn't an elaborate menu, but whatever you got actually tasted really good. I got a chicken sandwich one night. I was like, this is really good. And the kitchen is immaculate. It's obviously someone respects food. Things are stored properly. It's immaculate. The kitchen is. But then where you walk into the club, and by the way, even if you don't live in this city, you might think, why am I talking about it? You'll get it. You've seen someone else do this at another level. When you walk into the club, there's like a pre-area before you go down a hallway to the big showroom. There's a pre-area, and that area has a bar and some tables. And at one point during the year, when people get in there, it is deafening bright, like because the sun is setting, so it's lowering. It's god awful bright. Probably during the winter, not so much because it's already dark. But for those periods, put shades up. And when you pull them down On the other side, from outside, you just say Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. Gigantic, with a picture of a comedian on every shade. All the greats of comedy. On one, it could be like Mitch Hedberg. The other one, it could be Rodney, Louis C.K., whoever, Rory Scovel. Who gives a shit, right? And then it says Laugh Out Loud Big. So when all the shades are shut, you see, like, oh, that's a comedy club if you happen to be going to the movie theater. But don't tint the windows, because obviously sometimes it's nice to have it open at night. People can see inside. So, and there's no soul in the, I looked at it. I mean, thank God that the managers and everybody were real cool. They really let me do my own thing when I was there. We darkened the room. They put some candles on all the tables. Now you open the door and you walk in and there's some soul in the room. Soul. I know you have that big, beautiful mural, and it is actually cool, as I said, but it's not. And then sometimes they have their open mic night in there, but the spotlight's broke now, so they, you know, sometimes I was thinking, why not, if you have a comedian coming in and he draws about 100 people a show, have it out there, but make it look cool. I could have made it look cool. You set it up right, you put candles on all the tables, maybe put a teeny bit of money into your stage. It looks cool. You should open the door. Obviously, if you're having a show in there, when it's sunny out, you have the shade shut. People open the door. There's jazz music playing. There's candles on every table. There's candles on the bar. It could be like a hip little swank, cool, like, and it's not. I think, don't they see it? You got the food's okay. It's clean. Don't you see that people would eat? This has nothing to do with me even. Like, I wonder when the owners of the club, when they walk into the room at 7 o'clock, don't they go, do you want to sell food? Because if you made that place, put a little effort into it, people would be like, obviously, if people want to have a really, you know, expensive dinner or a really fine restaurant, no, they're not going to eat there. But if they're like, you know what, I want a simple menu, but things that are on it are really good and there's a teeny bit of atmosphere, I know more people would eat there. But it doesn't even look inviting. How could you listen to what I'm saying right now and then go to your club, look at it at 7 o'clock and go, does this look like a place? You go, we don't want people to eat there. No, stop it already. You're being childish. Even if no one ate there, even if you don't want people to eat, just they should enter your club. There, I got you, in case you were thinking that. I got you. You still want people to enter your club and see it as soul. You have to create soul. If the building you're in isn't old, or you're in New York downstairs, or you're in some cool little, you know, when it's a brand new building, you have to create soul. So how do you do that? How do you create soul? Well, you play jazz, or you play some funky music that people don't hear every day. You keep the room dark. You light some cool candles all over the place. You create soul. Comedy needs soul. And then, like I said, then if that's a cool, swanky room, when you're not using your big showroom, because the acts don't, you know, sometimes you have acts that don't fill that room, you put the shows out front, even if you don't want to put curtains in the main showroom. How long have I gone? 5 minutes and 25 seconds, I think. No, I've gone 8 minutes and 19, 8:20. All right. Enjoy the show. Now, Aristotle, you're supposed to tell people, besides this ungodly opening, did I use the right word? I don't know. When the actual show starts today, because we have a long pre-show. Remember, we're going to start telling people? So including this opening and the pre-show, when's the, and I know some people are like, we listen to the whole show, Todd, stop. What time does the actual show start? Not the pre-show, but the actual show, Aristotle. Tell people, what time is it? And then after you tell people what time it is, just roll right into the show. You're a good man. That was the longest opening in the world. Happy birthday, fuckface.
Today the show starts around 55 minutes and 47 seconds.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I guess this is the pre-show. Wow.
Please say hello to comedy's national treasure, Todd Glass.
Oh, stop it already. No, serious. It's embarrassing. National treasure.
A bunch of lies about my personal life. What? A bunch of true stories about my 30-year career in stand-up comedy. Please welcome to the program the very funny Todd Glass.
Right, that's nice. Sure. Oh, it's the pre-show. All right. Oh, you don't have to do that every week. Seriously, Jake. I'm not joking around. Don't do that.
All right. Well, this is the pre-show, everybody. It's going to be – I feel so relaxed because I consider this sort of like a family show because we're comfortable with Alan Strickland Williams, who is sitting right across the street from us.
That's
across
me.
The table.
Across the street?
Across the street. We it's like, you know, on Robin on the Howard Stern show, she's in a booth. And we have you across the street. We
I'm
have the guest.
Skyping in.
Yeah. We have the guest. What if you had them across the street literally in another office building, but you could see it from across like Fifth Street? And they're like, hey, there they are. We don't – you know. So
Alan Strickland Williams.
That's right. That's me.
Alan Strickland Williams.
That's me.
Alan Strickland Williams.
That's me.
I'm back. Alan Strickland Williams. I can't hear my.
You can't? Hold on. We could.
Did I mess it up?
No. We'll even.
Oh.
Is that making it louder?
Yeah. That's perfect.
That's perfect?
That's great.
You like that?
That's great.
People like to, you know, we used to edit this stuff out, but people like to know behind the scenes. What happens? Already there could be people home going, wow, Alan Strickland, a real headphone, what do they call it? Well, in the business they say they're headphone divas.
Divas.
Yeah, headphone divas. Everybody knows that.
I'm a diva. I just want to hear it.
Alan Strickland Williams.
That would be
Alan.
Me.
Alan Strickland Williams.
That's
bad
me.
Guys.
Alan Strickland Williams.
You know who it is.
Alan Strickland Williams.
Do I need to tell you one more time?
Alan Strickland Williams.
This guy right here.
Alan Strickland Williams.
What's your name again?
Alan Strickland Williams.
Of course, I want to talk about this thing that me and Alan. What's Corey's last name?
Lukosik.
Corey
Lukosik
brought us up to this thing, but I will talk about it in the regular
cool.
show. But I want to let people know there's something to
something
look forward
to.
So this pre-show is going to be a little long, of course. But everybody, it's a good energy here today. JJ is here. Aristotle's always here. Who's and then of course Nick has not been here for 2 weeks. I think Nick is here. Nick Lipa. Who will be, you see those pictures up on Facebook. And remember, for a long period, we're like, oh, we'll put pictures up. Now, because of Nick, you will see those pictures. And Alan is here. And then Ray. Raymond, what do you go by?
Ray.
He is a comedian. He also came up to me in San Antonio, which we're going to talk about today. And he asked if he could sit in on a show. I was like, sure. He's a stand-up comic. Wants to sit in on the show. I'm happy. And, of course, how you doing, Jake?
Doing great.
You doing good? Your parents? I met today, Jake asked if it was all right. His dad and his stepmom and his sister was here. And his sister's 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he opens the door here because this place was shut today. So he was here before me. And he goes, hey, don't hit on my sister. And ended up she hit it on me. Hit it. Because I have no – who cares about diction? She hit it on me. All right. So listen, let's start with something a little weird. Griffin, you sent me in an email that you said you liked the show right from the beginning. That's right, Griffin, I take care of you. And this is to George Carlin, the truth. But his girlfriend, who he says is really sweet and nice, I get it. Like, I have friends that I love dearly, but they're maybe not into a show I like. It doesn't mean it's not a – as long as – well, Griffin, I got to tell you, as long as there's so many other things that you guys enjoy, as long as there's a lot of music you enjoy, other comedy you enjoy. Let me tell you something about your girlfriend, Vicky. It's not a bad thing. It's just she's having a hard time getting into the show, and you want her to get into the show. Now, some people would say, well, why is that Todd Glass's job? Because I love that you asked me to do it. I love, Griffin, that you asked me to make Vicky feel welcome. I hope I'm saying her name. Vicky, I think if you're meant to be with Griffin, and I hope I'm saying his name right, you got to let the show breathe. You can't listen to 2 minutes of it. And I'm only doing this for Griffin. But if you let the whole show sociably, I think socially we're fair. So if you listen to a show and we stumble upon a social issue, I think you'll think, fuck, those guys were on the right side of history. And comedically, we're silly. We let our guards down. We do what kids in elementary school do. We let our guard down, and we get silly on the show. And I think if you listen to a show, maybe, Griffin, why don't you pick the show and go, just listen to it. Vicky, I have to say this. I think if there's not a show that you find that you like to, like not just like, but like, holy shit, Griffin, I listened to that show. I know what you mean now. You have to let it breathe. But if not, I think the relationship's it's done. No, I got to be honest. I mean, I can't. Sure, I try to be inspirational, but I can't, I mean, I can't imagine a world where people It's hard for me to imagine a world where the people wouldn't enjoy the Todd Glass Show. I don't know what world that is. Oh, you guys want me to sing? Oh, maybe not. Okay, so there you go, Vicky. Vicky, you son of a bitch. I mean that in a sweet way. All right, Jake was at the... By the way, Jake was at the Apple store today, and there's some... You know the old messages that are in the opening of the show? Like, they have music under them. Hey, it's Mark Maron. What am I going to do being on the Todd Glass Show? Well, I want Jingle Joe to rebuild that. So Jake was at the Apple store today having the computer looked at, and he was also on the phone with me, and he goes, oh, I found all those voice memos without music in them so we can recreate the opening. He goes, and then, so here's what he says to me. He goes, and people know they're the opening, right. things. He goes, oh, I got a message. There's a message from David Spade. There's a message from Zach Galifianakis. There's a message from Sarah Silverman. There's a message from Brian Regan. And then Jake goes, oh, shit, if somebody's listening to my conversation, I sound like I'm, like, really trying to, like, brag. I got a message from David Silverman. I got a message from David Silverman. So, anyway.
Said it as loud as possible.
Yeah. I got a message! So, there's that. By the way, Rory, let's do this now. Rory Scovel,
Casey Hunt.
Well, that's his girlfriend, but... Jesse Wentridge is his girlfriend's birthday. I think it was last week. What did I think Rory sent something in for her.
Hi there, Casey Hunt. This is Rory Scovel from the Todd Glass Show, and I just wanted
I think it's worth to say this, even to cheat a little. Scott Moran is in the background, and he's trying to show him cat pictures on the internet. Like, that's the bit. Like, he's trying to do a thing. And then, you know, oh, you got it. It's so subtle in the background. But I think now if you know it going in, you'll hear it. And it's so fucking funny, the both of them. So he's trying to leave a message for Casey's birthday, and this is what happens.
Touch with you, and I just wanted to say, Scott, I'm leaving a birthday message for someone. Can you give me a second? That's Scott Moran in the background. You probably remember him from whogivesashit.com, his whole thing that he does. Anyways, happy birthday, Casey. Scott, I'm seriously, I am trying to leave a message for a friend here. It doesn't have to. Well, I'm allergic to cat photos also. I'm not just allergic to cats. I am also allergic to cats. Photos. I can only... Casey, I'm sorry about this. Look, Casey, the deal is... You don't talk to Casey like that. You do not talk to Casey like that. She's my friend. You know what? You're going to be a dick like that? How about I handle this like a man? You like that? You like getting shot? Do you like getting shot?
I don't like it. Stop.
Do you want me to stop shooting you?
Fucking yes.
Do you want me to stop shooting you?
Yes, I deleted that thing.
How about that?
Christ,
how about that? How about that gun?
In my testicle. God
damn. That's right. Oh. I shoot people that don't shut up. Jesus, Casey, I'm so sorry about that. Anyways, Casey, happy birthday. I just wanted to...
I think I might have messed that up. But, you know, Mr. Rogers would not be all right with all that shooting because he was, you know, he didn't like pie in the face. And I agree with him. So I don't know how I feel about the shooting, but I think right now, for now, it's very funny. Oh, stop it. Nobody wants me to play my evening at the improv. The seagull. He makes me laugh. So we got that. And now we're going to get two things out of the way. And then we're going to take a break. And we're going to utilize Alan Strickland Williams to his full potential. You're going to have so much fun tonight. Happened today, Alan, you're going to take a deep breath after this opening. While I'm doing my opening. And by the way, I want – you know what I'm talking about. These two things we're about to talk about. One is the comedy club in San Antonio that I worked at.
Let's find out what happens at Todd and San Antonio.
Thank you, Joe. Joe, I love you. Seriously. Everybody is in love with Joe through this thing. That, even if they haven't met him, we're always like, just a good person. I just want you to know that, Joe. Look at you in the car. Hey, my name's Joe. Look at me. All right, that could be edited out. So we're going to deal with two things. While I'm doing this, you could pump in, you pipe in, or whatever you want to do. Pump, pipe, pump whatever in. You do. I know what you and your friends do. Or you could just re-acclimate into this silly world that we're about to go through. And I'm very excited that you're here because okay. I've grown this weekend. I don't talk about a tease. I like you even more than I already did. Watching the way you acted.
Oh, thank you.
During that band. I will tell. Remind me to tell me the story when we start talking about it, when I couldn't find you.
Okay.
And I felt like I was experiencing the best thing in the world. I'm like, I swear to you, to George Carlin, I went, I want to experience this with Alan and Blake, and I don't know where they're at, and there's 250 people there. And then that's the part I haven't told yet. So here's what I want to talk about real quick, and then I feel better. I feel better. I feel lighter when I get this off my mind. And not only do I feel lighter when I go nice and slow. That's why one of the reasons I'm glad Alan is here today, because we know each other. When there's a new guest sitting across from me, sometimes I feel very, I don't want to make them sit through it. But if it's someone that I know, they know, hey, 20 minutes, and then it's going to be all
over. Can you wrap it up?
No, that's good if you could just wrap it up. All right, listen. Dale, you wrote me a letter asking me what a comedy club should be. Well, maybe you should hear what I say about San Antonio, and then you'll figure it out through reverse process. Just whatever I'm going to tell you I didn't like. Here's what I'm going to say about San Antonio, and I'm going to go nice and slow. I have never in my career been more confused about a club. And I don't want to do it where I don't want to be phony. At times, what they do makes me angry. And I hope they listen to this. I really do. And if you want to, if somebody said to George Carlin, what is your goal? Is that they would hear this and know, even though he said some things that were very, you know, not nice, he did it in a nice way. And that's why I want to do it that way, because no one's going to change if you don't, if you just come at them viciously and cruelly. Even if someone's done something that, you know, like you still have to come at someone from a calm place. My goal is that you will hear this and go, be able to but after you get past making all your excuses, because that's the process. How do I know that? I've done it. I've done it when I'm younger. I hope as you get older you stop doing that. But as I start unlaying these things that I thought you do wrong at your club, and when you stop being defensive, my dream would be that you take a deep breath and you look at your wife, the two owners of the club, and go, there's some truth. I mean, we could spend 8 hours, honey, thinking about what he said that was wrong, but why don't we spend 20 minutes thinking about where he was right? So that's your choice in which order you do that. But the club is so cavernous. I mean like a joke, like an airplane hangar. And the word behind your back is, and by the way, the staff, I'm going to repeat it again, I have never had such an awesome time at a really not well thought out club. I've never had such an awesome time because the employees were awesome. Every employee that worked at that club was so nice and so kind, and the comedians and that I hung out with, and a guy by the name of Bob who gave me a Don Rickles Hey Dummy album, and the manager of the club, Jeff, who was so kind and so, and the people and everybody and where we went afterwards. But the word is that some people think it's a tax write-off. That's what some people say. And I go, no. They like comedy. They love comedy. There's no way they can like Andy Kindler and not love comedy. And they bring Andy Kindler in. So they fucking love comedy. They do. I know it. If I had to bet on it, there's no fucking way. I hope at least you two are listening right now going, all right, but there is a disconnect. There is a disconnect. You can, with what you spend on the mural in the front of the club, it's not worth it, whatever it costs, if that meant you couldn't have a curtain in your showroom. When you have a room that holds 450 people, and you're going to have nights where there's 100 or 200 and you don't curtain it off. I don't know how, and this is the part, I'm trying to be nice, but I'm also not trying to be phony. And to me, phony means that I'm too nice. No, that pissed me the fuck off when I was there. I kept looking at, what did they spend on that? And by the way, it was a really nice mural. Like whoever did it, it's cool. And some of the stuff she did on the doors, it's really nice. Someone has an artistic ability. But it's not worth it if it means there's not a curtain in that showroom. It doesn't make the show a little better. When you take a 400-seat room and you have in the event where you're going to have 100 people and you can curtain off the sides, it doesn't make it a little better. Because guess what? If it makes it a little better, who the fuck gives a fuck? to make it a little better, to spend money. Those curtains have to be fireproof when you do something. You can't hang sheets. It's probably very expensive, but it doesn't make it a little better. It's night and fucking day, and the fact that you don't know that, it fucking confuses the fuck out of me. I don't get it. I don't get it, how you have that. And even when it's sold out there with 400 people or 50, it's still cavernous. Who? Someone's lying to you. You have to drop that ceiling. You, even when it's sold out, because I know what you're thinking. Well, maybe if it was sold out, Todd, isn't that your fault? No, even if it's sold out, that's a cavernous room. And if you're bringing someone like me in, you have to have curtains. I don't put 450 people in a room. I don't do it. That's my point in my career. I'm more of like little, what they call black box theaters that are about 200 people, or a comedy club that's 200-300, and they have their built-in audience, and then I bring in some. And the fact that they don't give you all the – they give you two drinks a night. Now, look, the two of you can try to wiggle out of this, but I don't know where you think that's okay. Are there going to be comedians that take advantage of it if you let them drink all they want? You expect me to go, no. You're damn fucking right there will be. You know how I'm going here. Will there be comedians? You let them drink what they want. Will they? You're fucking right. There'll be some fucking drunk slob that'll come in with five. And don't hire him back. You don't make that rule. It's such a cult. It doesn't work for you. It's not about whether that I want the free drinks. It's such a warm thing to do. When you're in my home, you eat for free. You drink for free. And if someone takes advantage of it, and they will, they don't come back to the club. But why you think that's all right? Why you think that's not – that the people that work there are probably embarrassed that they have to say, I'm in a club. Sometimes I get there from 6 till 12 at night if I want to have – four drinks. And what's worse, and if I'm wrong, I will. You know how sometimes on serious news, if they make a mistake, it ends up like on the newspaper, it ends up on the front page. But then when they make a correction on something they said wrong, it ends up on the third. This will end up, I'll do 20 minutes about it. But I asked, the MCs don't get a dinner. And that is unforgivable. I don't know how you think that fucking works. You can't afford not to give him a dinner. If you had an accountant that knew about entertainment, maybe before he was an accountant, he was in a band, and he knew what it was like to be on the road, and he would come to you and he would go, times are tough, fuck. We got to really figure out ways to just do run this ship tighter. And then I figure the owner of the club going, like, what? Well, I mean, we got to really fucking tighten the reins around here. You got to start giving the opener all the free food he wants.
What?
Yeah, but we all know what I mean, because you're going to get back so much more. Any club that gives the food out, I think they do it from a place of warmth. When you go to the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, I think they give free food from a place of warmth. But it's not so bad if later they go, and we reap the benefits of it, because people feel loved. Why you think, and I think your name is Colleen, that you don't give the MC a chicken sandwich? Shame on you. Shame on you. That's what you think of comedy. And I don't care what you are going to try to talk your way out of this. It's wrong. And this is a defining moment in your life when you wiggle to the right and you wiggle to the left. It's unforgivable if you want to be loved in the comedy community. If you don't, still from a business point of view, your accountant would come to you and go, I don't give a fuck if you hate comedy. And they don't hate comedy. They do not hate comedy. But even if you hated comedy, your accountant would still go, I don't give a fuck. You got to give them free food. We're having a tough year. You got to give them free food. You'll get it back. What's your reason? It just means, and then the way your condo is. And here's when we go full show. Your condo is unforgivable. It's been talked about for 20 years in the business. It's a shithole and it's unforgivable. And the same way I don't want to talk about spanking kids because I think, oh, I'll lose listeners. I think, is this worth it? This is my passion. And if this is what gets them shamed out of doing it, good. I hope I make it easier for some new comedian that's going through that town. Your condo has been a joke. That's what you think of comedy. You can talk all you want about comedy, and I'm defending you. But your shithole condo, it is fucking embarrassing. It's horrible. If you had friends in from out of town and they went, hey, let's see where you keep your livelihood. I bet it's nice. Can you? It's a fake scenario, but it says everything. You picture the husband and wife in from out of town. They know they own a comedy club. They go, where do you keep the comedians? And maybe for some reason it comes up. I go, I bet it's really nice because you probably want the people you Howls that are going to be performing at your club, and you brought them into where you keep the comedians, they would laugh. There's no fucking way they would believe it. They would look at you and go, that's a good one. Can you imagine if you kept the comedians in this shithole? Come on, show us where you keep them. And you'd bow your head in embarrassment. It's not excusable, and I don't give a fuck what you wiggle to the right or wiggle to the left. There have been comedians. Mark Anderson, who owned the Improvs, had condos, and he cared. It wasn't like a hotel, but new in your career, when you were younger and you went through a condo of his, they kept it nice. Comedians are going to smoke, and he would put a rug under the in front of the dining room, you know, in front of the living room. There was a sofa and a coffee table. He'd put a cheap rug, and then every 5 months he'd go, they're going to smoke. I can't. They're going to smoke. And he'd toss it and put a new rug. He kept up on it. He would ask the people that were cleaning it, throw out everything. I don't want hangers all over the closet. Even though it's not a four-season hotel, when comedians come in, I want the refrigerator to be clean. I want nothing to be in. I don't want drawers with hangers. And you would go into his condos, and he cared. And if you do care about comedy, if you do, and I think I'm being nice, I do, then you got to answer to that condo. I would want to interview the owners of that club. Like 60 Minutes would want to interview somebody. And you know when they're interviewing somebody, you're not going to have an interview show. If people come into your studio and you don't agree with them, I don't want to be Bill O'Reilly. I want to sit down in front of them and learn. You got to shut the fuck up and listen, Todd. You can't have someone in here. No one's going to want to interview you. No one's going to come on your show. I want to treat it like that, like a good interviewer on 60 Minutes. Or you know what I mean, any news show where they sit in front of you. I want you to explain to me, if you're listening right now, he doesn't get it. Because you're either having one, if you're thinking, holy shit, I wish I could interrupt Todd right now. We're embarrassed already. Then I love the fuck out of you. But if you're wiggling, no, he doesn't understand. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. It's either going, wow, it took us to hear it like this. That condo is unforgivable. That's miraculous and no judgment. But if you're going, no, he doesn't. Well, you call me and you leave a message explaining to me where I'm misguided. Where that condo, that shithole you keep people in. Shame on you. Shame on you. You don't care. That condo says everything you care about comedy. The fact that you don't give the opener a chicken fucking sandwich and you keep people in that shithole condo, you should be embarrassed. And I knew this before I saw you at the club when you walked in because I don't hate you. There is something about him I like. But still, I felt phony. He might think, geez, Todd, you saw me. You gave me a hug. How you doing? Because it's uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable when you came into the room. I was uncomfortable. I thought, oh, my God, I was just saying these things, and now he walks in. Because I'm more confused. I am fucking confused at the way you run a club. And if it wasn't for the condo and the chicken sandwich, none of this anger, that's where it all comes from. That you can't give the opener. What's he making, $30 a show? Why aren't you embarrassed? Doesn't it feel good to go, oh no, put your money away. You're in our home for 3 days. Put your money away. We'll take care of you. So that's that. Fuck, I'm so tired. I'm proud. I'm glad I said. Did you ever stay in a condo?
No, I'm not there yet.
They're not all like this.
Yeah.
The San Antonio, laugh out loud. And then there's the River Center. And I hope they hear this. I don't know if anybody wants, you're a comic. I don't know. I know I was fuck this and fuck that. I think I was sort of pretty famous.
No, it's ringing true on a lot of levels. Like I said, I'm not really at the, I do some clubs around town, but really I haven't really been put up at any clubs or anything like that. But there is just something to be said for going to a show at any level, open mic, book show, Black Box, bigger theater, whatever, you know, new East Side, West Side, wherever. There's something to be said for people that give a shit and know what they're doing when it comes to running it. And there's such a huge, and I just got to the point where I started complaining about it. If I'm at a shitty bar show and it's like they don't turn the TV off, I'm like, you got to turn the TV. I just now have been like, you have to, because it's like I've been doing it, and I imagine this is what it is for you. You're like, I'm fucking tired of this. I've been doing this.
It's more for the newer acts than me, because I don't ever have to go back there. But I'm not being phony when I say it's for the newer acts that go, well, they don't have to work that club either. And I swear to you, it's not even that for the newer acts. It's more how's it work for them? And I'm not going to get them to tell me how it works for them unless in my rage, and there's definitely been rage, there's some sign of, I think if I called Todd, I think he'd listen. I certainly wouldn't curse if I was on the phone with them. I would not curse at them for 1 second if I was on the phone with them. But I want them to go, Hal, to explain to me, where am I off? What don't I get? And explain it to me with four comedians in the room, because I'm not going to be in on this myself.
It's just so I totally get where it's coming from, because, and I know that you said we're going to talk more about this later, but the show that we just did up in Sonoma County, it's the opposite of that. They took care of you from right when you get in town till, I mean, the guy that ran the whole thing literally drove me to my door on the way home. Like
Corey.
Like,
and you're right. And where we stayed was nice. This was a winery.
And where I stayed was nice too. Yeah, we don't want to go too far into it right now.
But let me tell you, if you're curious what we're talking about, listen later in the show, because we're about to rave over it. And they shouldn't have got comedy. It's a winery that they took a warehouse and they took pallets and they made it into a cool club and they hired artwork all over the walls. And they shouldn't have got it. And we walked in. The owner of a winery was like, hey, if there's anything you need, we have a food truck. There's the green room. The green room was cool. They put a tablecloth on the center table. They had chairs around it. Hey, do you want those lights on? Do you want those lights on?
They thought of everything.
They thought of everything. So it's doable.
Yeah.
And then you at your club. And they, and by the way, when I got from the airport, they kept me at the I think in a weird way delicate thing to say, because if I was on a road trip and I was just pulling into a place to get a night's sleep, and you know I was on the road with like five friends or three or whatever, taking a road trip, and there was a Holiday Inn Express, would I stay there? You fucking bet I would. I don't want to spend a lot of money for a hotel. I'm going to crash in and then get up in the morning and leave. Holiday Inn Express, it's going to be clean. But they kept me at a Holiday Inn Express near the airport. This is where I'm going to be every day. I pulled in. I looked at it. I had already heard it was the Holiday Inn Express the night before. So with Nick, I went online, looked at hotels, and there was a place there called The Lofts. And that was in the same parking lot as the comedy club. And it was cool. And it felt, for lack of a better word, whenever I go to explain these type of places, they figured out a way to make a not expensive hotel have a little sort of chic feel about it and a cool feel. And the lobby was cool. And the rooms were sort of cool. Like they had a lofty feel to them. And I think the deal they got at the Holiday Inn Express, whatever it was, this was like $40 more a night at The Lofts.
Mm-hmm.
I want the answer to that. I want the answer. Do you know the both of you, Colleen? Do you know Bruce? Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to change the tone of my voice, and I would hope they're listening. Seriously. Don't be like a little kid or, you know, come here. Do you know that we sit in our rooms all day? And do you know when you look out of the window, it's nice to, do you care? Do you not think of it? Because the only reason you could wiggle out of this, if somebody went, geez, yeah, we made mistakes, but we didn't need to be yelled at by Todd. Well, that's why I want to, and then someone would hear this part, a third party. If you brought this podcast into a therapist, he'd go, I think he was trying pretty hard. And if you took that therapist, I'm being actually fucking to George Carlin serious, to your condo, where you kept the everything else a therapist couldn't understand. But if you took him to the condo, Bruce, Colleen, picture, we drove him to the condo. We opened the door. He'd go, wow, I think the guy was right. I think he was trying to be pretty kind. I mean, yeah, you're talking about where you keep the comedians, and he's lived that. The Holiday Inn Express near the airport. That's where I'm going. So I hope they hear this. I really do, because I would love to hear what they say. I would love to hear what they say. I don't have any idea. I think I covered everything, but we'll see. So there's that. Now we're going to make this quicker. How's everybody at the table? Is everybody all right? Stop it. I'm not repeating that whole thing all over again. Okay, here's the last thing. And by the way, my instincts are to get a little bit like, Todd, now you're going to deal with this? Yes, we're going to deal with it. This is going to be calm, believe it or not. Isn't it funny that what I'm about to talk about, did I talk about everybody, the band? Oh, by the way, the band played for us. They couldn't have been nicer. It was Mark and Jeff. And don't they have like they teach music. And they were so nice. And I wanted to if you live in San Antonio and you're like, you know what, I actually want to take drum lessons, I want to take music lessons, I want to give them this so deserved shout out.
You can, if you want to find where they give the music lessons, it's called LGE Music Lessons. It's Mark Gray. He's drum and guitar lessons, and Jeff Dunn, guitar lessons.
Just
and
Just the best. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Their email is contact at ljemusiclessons.com. That's contact at ljemusiclessons.com.
Yeah, just really, as they say, classy guys. We're so into it. And like I said, the wait staff, just wow. So nice. It's the only time I thought, God, this wait staff deserves a better owner. So they're so cool. They're so nice. They're so kind. They're so decent. They're so sweet. They're so gentle. They're so warm. They're so accommodating. I wonder if the owners know how special their employees are. I don't think so.
And also follow Mark at drummer Mark Gray.
There you go.
He told me to say that.
Okay, this is the next thing. So Dale, now you know what a club should be by not doing any of that. Okay, we talked about last week, and then this is it. You're all good over there?
I'm great.
Okay, good. Alan Strickland.
Scrap.
It's a jingle catastrophe. Pressed all these buttons by accident. Apologize, guys.
But it was catchy.
A jingle catastrophe. But you know what? I think you made it work, Jay. Jingle catastrophe. It was a jingle catastrophe, Aristotle.
I'm doing good.
You're a breath of fresh air.
Aristotle, 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 Aristotle. Oh,
oh. Hello, it's Aristotle there.
James Adomian sucked my dick to this song.
Oh, please. It's disgusting. Well, he's got a problem. Well, no, he does. James Adomian is sick, and he dates men, and that's an illness. No, seriously, doctors talk about it. Sure, you can't date men.
Which I also just realized, if you haven't like watched the live,
you didn't know what you were talking about. Yeah. He goes,
they played this song at the live podcast, and I like got up on my chair.
Please,
and started dancing.
Can we not talk about this? This is very upsetting for me watching.
Well,
him.
No, because now I feel like he was shitting all over James.
No. They were doing a bit where he played that song, and then he started fake performing on him.
Oh.
I don't have any problem. I like how I'm such a problem saying that, but then I say that JJ plays his trumpet and cum shoots out of women's pussies. That I have no problem saying. But JJ told me that, and I didn't think he was being honest. No, I don't think that's the truth. I think JJ makes shit up. I don't cum shooting out of pussies. It sounds like this doesn't happen. All right, so here's what we're going to do, and then we're going to take a break. I'm such in a good mood right now. How you doing at home? I got a letter from somebody. I wish I had it, and I don't have it in front of me, and that's purely my fault. But we talked about the spanking. There's never a time to spank, and somebody wrote me a letter. I said, unless you talk to your family counselor, I'm going to go nice and calm with this. I don't want to seem aggressive. Unless you have a letter from your unless you talk to a family counselor, and they said, well, there is a time to spank. Please don't email me, because it's rude of me to tell you. I won't read it. But if you spoke to your family counselor about it, and so I got a letter from somebody, really nice letter. And by the way, I'm going to preface this every time I say it. When I tell you I got a nice letter from somebody, it means it. It means that there are ways to disagree. He didn't disagree with me, obviously, that hitting kids is not. This person came from a letter, a well-crafted letter that does not you know, hitting is not right and it doesn't work and so many levels. It was a brilliant letter. But they said in this one situation when their kid was – they live near a busy street and he's, I think, 3 or 4 years old. And by the way, my to be very fair to them, because I know some people might think this and I'm going to get you not to think it. Well, why is a 3-year-old or 4-year-old able to be near a busy street? Hey, look, the best parent in the world sometimes – 2 seconds, your kid's out of your way. And you got to teach your child not to go into the street. In the event that for 1 second, 2 seconds, the best parent in the world. So that's not where I judge them at all. I get it. In the event that you're the best parent in the world, you take your eyes off your child for a while. And by the way, he has to understand that for when he's 5 or when he's 6 or when he's 7, had the danger of going into that street. So they said in this event that the case was that their child would go into the street. And at one point, they had to spank their child. And I hope I'm doing this justice, how this unfolded. He got upset and cried, and he said, that made me feel sad. And then this letter tells me that they went, do you know why we did that? And he goes, because you don't want me to, I think it said something like, to have danger happen to me, to get hit by a car. And we talked to our therapist about it, and he said that that was okay in that situation. So I talked to a friend of mine, almost Dr. Kevin Sousa, and if you were a fly on the wall, you'd be like, man, he's really. It's almost like you think I'm disagreeing with what I my own preach. I go, isn't that the case? I mean, come on, isn't it better to spank a kid on the ass than have him? He goes, Todd, and I hope I'm doing it justice, but we are going to do a show with him. It doesn't mean that I would report someone to child services if they came in to my office and told me they did that. But he did say this. He, and by the way, this is not to George Carlin, no bullshit, calling this person a liar. Sometimes when a therapist says something, and I know I just did it a month ago with my family. We had some family issues, and we go to a counselor every 3 years. We'll go, you know, when we have a problem. And he told me something, and I went off and was doing my version of it. I'm not a liar. I recalled him back. He said, well, Todd, you took that a little out of context. And I go, as soon as he said it, I'm like, yes, I did. That's what I think. Underline think 100 times, think you might have done. Kevin said, and I would say, we would like to talk to this family therapist, and we have a good gut feeling that by the time we're done talking, even you, the person that wrote the email, will go, yeah, we were a little off. Because you're saying it should be in the curriculum. Is that the right word? In the curriculum for raising kids. In the event of touching a hot stove or in the event of going to the street, there's no other ways to be taught. This is the way the email came off. Then you have to spank.
Right.
You shouldn't be hitting your kid with a wooden spoon. You shouldn't be leaving a mark. But in the event of a hot stove or a child, this is a time, and we've come up with reasons for every other time to not spank. But in these situations, there's nothing else. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. And I want to stay in order here. So it means if you did it wrong, that's okay. You did it wrong, and it wasn't the worst wrong by far. But that would be like if you're a good parent. Look, great parents can lose their temper with their kids just in yelling at them. So let's say the best parent in the world, I wouldn't judge you, one Friday afternoon you go, everyone, just please be quiet. Just please. I just need you to be quiet. Just please give me 10 minutes. You're not the worst person in the world. You're probably a pretty good parent that just lost your – but you don't work that into the guidelines of how to get your kids quiet. You don't go, oh, in the event that they're noisy, you go, just shut up. That's what happens when you don't have your wits about you, and you're still a good, loving, kind parent. But it doesn't get to be in the book of how to get your kids to be quiet when there's mayhem in the house. It just means you're a great human being, and you'll – and I think that's what it is with the hitting. Because he said there's – number one, the way your child, Kevin said – understood everything, he really understands. Not being sarcastic either. He understood that's because that made me sad. He's able to articulate himself. So when I'm telling Kevin this, he's trying to get an understanding of this child. What are his capabilities? He knows already because people that study children know the understanding of a two-year-old, the understanding of a three-year-old. But by their email, it sounds like they have a child on their hand that is very smart. As a lot of young children are. He understood it made him sad. He also understood that it was so he didn't get hit by a car. So since they are his capabilities of understanding things, there are other ways. And you did not make it sound in your email. And please, like I think I'm saying it to you. And by the way, think about how he was yelling at those comedy club people. You, I'm talking from a gentle place. And then I talked to Eric. And oh, let me finish one more thing Kevin said. He said, especially in those areas of chaos, your kids need to have calm. Because later in life, they won't come to you when it's drugs. If you, in areas of chaos, and nothing can be more chaotic than a kid thinking he's going to get hit by a car or the fear of a kid, that even needs to be more calm. They need to know that in that event of hysteria, or that they can go to their parent. And in the event of, you're sort of sending an indirect message that in the event of this chaos, hitting is involved. And again, I'm going to underline it 100 times. His judgment over the phone, and I'm probably bastardizing what he said, was not like, what did they do? No. But don't make it sound like, oh, no, in the event. And then I talked to Eric about it, and he said he – by the way, I forgot that Eric Olson from the show studied – was it psychology? It was psychology. And there were some courses on some lectures that he had to go to. And one of them was from a lecture, two things. One, I love the lecture that said they don't let someone stood up and go, when I spank, okay, hitting, just say hitting. I'll answer your question, but you have to say hitting. We don't say spanking here. We just say hitting. And talked about that specific thing. And they said you can put – now, by the way, someone in listening to this might go, oh, that sounds like hocus pocus. I don't know. I think a lot of three-year-olds are as smart as this email's three-year-olds. Three-year-olds can really concept a lot. So if what they wrote me was true, and I think it was, this three-year-old would understand this, that you can put your hand to the curb and they feel the vibrations. Now, I don't have kids, but I would imagine if this is what a person said that studies this, that's a way to work. Also, this person said, now this next one, you know, you might go, oh, it just worked in this person. There was a dog in the street that had hit by a car. And they figured this was a good opportunity. Now, it wasn't 8 miles away, so they didn't have to go home. But they thought, God, they probably thought, like, do I really want to go home, get my kid, walk 3 blocks? Oh, God. Fucking the day's already. Everybody's day is busy. But guess what? That's what they did. And they showed their kid. And I said, isn't that more? I knew the answer was no, but I wanted to put it out there to see what he said. Wouldn't that be more detrimental to say to a child, look at that dog in the street that got hit by a car? Isn't that, like, freakier to a kid than maybe spanking him? As it came out of my mouth, I went, no. No, he understands that that's life. And if he's smart enough to say that that's to understand why you hit him, he would understand that that dog went into the street. So I will read your email when you respond to me. But let me tell you something. I have your email. And I don't want to come off aggressive, but I guess there is a hint of it here. Don't rechange what you thought and make it – you have to be able to say, you're right, in that email. It did not say in that email, in a time of frustration and maybe anger, I spanked, but there's certainly other ways. You made it sound like that, no, those are the ways that you do everything in your power not to hit your child, but in the event of the street and in the event of the hot stove, even my therapist said there's no other way, because I will read your email and nobody will say that that came across at all. And, you know, you did write that email, and I could read that email, which I didn't read in entirety. So you should want to own what you said. And you should also want to own to go, you know what, in all fairness, we didn't. We did make it sound like that. But I still think you're a good parent. Why? I don't know who you are. You wouldn't have written me that email. I think you're probably a kind, decent, gentle person. I think I'm kind and decent and gentle, I hope. I'm a little wrong. I need someone to, oh, Todd, Dr. Ebert, sometimes with my own family issue, says, Todd, you got to deal with it that way, and maybe you should approach your mom this way if you can't come home for Thanksgiving. So I can still be tilted to the right and left, and I think I'm decent, and I think you're decent.
Well, you heard it here, guys. Todd Glass, he doesn't want you to hit your kids, but it's okay to kill a dog. Just to teach a child a lesson. Shame on you, Todd Glass.
You didn't hear one thing. The guy goes, wait, I didn't say kill. No, you said you come home from work and you drive aggressively into a dog. And then you say,
Junior, get over here. I want to show you something.
Oh, no, here's what you heard. Well, you're driving home and you have your kid in the car. You see a dog walking into the street. You just turn into it, you kill it. You go, that's what happens when you run into the street, you son of a bitch. Yeah. The Todd Glass Show. I feel better now. I really do feel better.
Good.
I feel I did it good. I feel I was probably more aggressive to the comedy club than the people that had some talking to me about, you know, when it is okay to spank. So we're going to, what is that? Wow, this is nice. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Alan Strickland Williams, Nick Lipa, J.J. Raymond is sitting in from San Antonio, now living in Los Angeles. Of course, always.
Just Ray.
Jake Adams. And look at you, Aristotle. Just a goddamn ray of sunshine. And we're lucky enough to sit across from you every week. without Katie picking shit out of her pussy. That's what she did.
No, I'm not.
What, I can't talk the truth anymore? No, I'm sorry. Am I wrong for telling the truth?
I can't.
I'm not. No, if I'm not allowed to say it, I'm sorry. Katie knows I love her. I do. I gave her a big hug at the podcast festival because she's a breath of fresh air. Oh, shit. I have another email. Someone murdered their neighbor. They want me to weigh in on it. I forgot. Oh, turn the music off. All right, we'll be right back. Put the music back on for 1 second. Let's fade the music out. When you come back, we're gonna be having some good time tonight. How long was that opening?
48 minutes.
Right, you know what? I should have done it in 42. All right, we'll be back with the Todd Glass Show. Do you all know the words to this? Come on, no, do you really know?
And then people.
Just you.
Just me. And the people. Because all the people have to read the book for the other people. And there's a person somewhere else.
Bitter Buddha.
Yes, it's the Todd Glass Show. So let's kiss on.
That's right, Christopher. Play it again, Christopher.
Yes, it's the Todd Glass Show, so let's kiss on the lips.
Let's kiss Todd on the lips. By the way, Christopher, I love it. Jingle Joe is shitting in his pants right now. No, seriously, let's be nice to him. He's probably so upset. How you doing?
Good.
You are?
Yeah.
How good are you doing on a scale from 9 to 10?
9 to 10, I'm doing a 9, so actually not great.
Oh. What's your show? I don't want to forget. If we get it out of the way. No, get it out of the way now. Once we mention it.
Yeah. It's called Whatever, hosted with Eric DeDorian.
All right, well, you don't have to be rude. I'm trying to help you out. No, seriously.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's
no,
called...
well, I just... look, I'm trying to help you promote
sure.
your show.
No, I'm sorry.
What's the name of your show?
The show's called Whatever.
Hey, you know what? Then we won't fucking promote it.
No,
even Jake's defending
no,
me.
No, guys, no, you don't understand. The No, you guys... The show is Whatever.
Great. Well, if you don't give a shit, then why do I? The
God.
Show's Whatever. Someone well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, the show is Whatever.
We got a lot of jingles to get to.
Yeah, we have a lot of jingles to get to.
No, the show is Whatever.
All right, well, then I don't care either. You know what? My show isn't Whatever. So can we do it if you don't give a fuck about promoting your show? I don't. Am I wrong? Do I not understand something? What's the name of your show?
Whatever.
Oh, no, then forget it. You know what? Then that's
no,
fine.
No. Don't forget it. Whatever.
This doesn't really make sense anymore.
It does, but it doesn't matter. I like that you cleaned it up a little. Can I tell you the best thing you did in that bit was got rid of the... What's the name of your show for real?
Whatever.
Oh, but... what? Oh, you know what? I think you're being disrespectful. I thought you said it's called The Whatever or something. You had like
no,
a prefix.
No, it really is called Whatever.
All right.
Whatever. I'm not joking anymore.
So the name of your show is what?
Now it becomes a different bit where it's just good. Like, I'm just like, no, really.
Who is on?
It's Whatever. I hosted with Eric DeDorian. Oh, man, I think that's what I said. I said It's Whatever.
It's Whatever. It's better just Whatever.
Whatever.
Looks like what you're writing me off. It's what. Thank you. I'm not crazy.
Whatever.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever, Todd. It's Friday, October 17th, 9 p.m., right on the dot. Jackie Cation.
Oh, Jackie. She's always fun to be
She's
around.
Great.
We hooked up in high school.
Oh.
Ah, she was fun.
Woo!
Hey,
it's like, come.
Yes, it's the Todd Glass Show, so let's kiss on the lips.
So I want to talk about two things. One, so did we get done with your show?
Yeah, it's $5. Come,
okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Anyway, did we get the original song Marijuana, the one that Joe parodied for people going through sobriety? But do we have the original?
Still got it from last week.
You do. Look at you. I don't want to do that yet. First, I want to have a nice talk. We're like the other shows. A lot of the shows, they can, you know. They go, oh, the Todd Glass Show, you know what really is getting me nervous? I used to think they were all just bells and whistles over there. But Todd will do, like, just regular conversation in the beginning. Wow, he can do that too? Woo. And that's what we're about to do now. Just,
okay.
Oh, look at us. We're, like, all hanging out at the mics. We're like, oh, boy, we sure had fun up in San Francisco.
We sure did, didn't we,
Oh, do you
guys?
Hear a jingle? No, because I don't need it. No, let's talk about that for real. I don't need a jingle. I really don't. I don't need me. It's just a nice conversation. I just do that because it's maybe makes me feel better. Anyway. No way that's necessary.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough. My mom sent that in. She's in a band. That's their first song they wrote. Now, is it good? Be honest. No. Seriously, Alan, don't lie to me. My mom sent this in. You like it?
It's
no, seriously. And I own HBO, and I have the power to give you a show. It makes every bit better because now it brings lying into it. So I own HBO.
Okay.
I have you at my house, okay. And my mother's there in the corner, and she's hitting this, and I go, "She, it's more of an avant-garde thing. No bullshit. Do you like it?
I love it."
Why? Okay, let me. I broke cat. Oh no! What do you like about it? Because you know what? It's like a. What do you call it? Is it jazz or is it more?
It's just right on the money.
She gets nervous. A lot of people don't like it.
I think it's funny. I can actually hear this on the radio. Yeah.
So you? What would you? The song you're listening to right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, look at me. I'm dancing.
You're not lying to me, are you?
I would never lie to you. Not about music.
You're funny, man. We should work together. Seriously.
Oh, I would love
to. I own HBO.
On HBO. Yeah, for sure.
I own it. Who owns it? Not one person. I own HBO. My name's Eric.
Yeah. Yeah. I love what you do over there.
So you like it? This is another version.
Yeah. Your mom's great. I think.
You're being honest with me.
I'm being absolutely
Do you have
honest.
A musical ear?
Yep. I went to Juilliard.
Can I do something and I feel rude? Can I play you another one of her songs?
Oh, please.
This is a little sad.
I'm actually going to ask you for a CD if I could get one.
This is a sad one. This is about a lot of the suffering that goes on in the world.
Oh, wow. All
right, listen. I feel like I want to.
Yeah, I hear that.
Before
I can hear this. Yeah,
I want to talk. I want to talk about our weekend.
Sure.
But I also want to play your intro. So I'm putting you in charge. I'm going to do your intro, but then we're going to talk about what we did in.
Okay.
With Corey.
Cool.
So we're going to play your intro first because I want to, you know, utilize you, and so we'll do it first, and we'll play the old one. Let's hear the old one first. I think.
He's back on the Todd Glass Show again.
All right.
Alan Strickland Williams. He'll tell you up front how many jokes he has.
Count them, baby.
I wonder how his one-liners would sound if Rodney Dangerfield were still around. Alan Strickland Williams. Well, he's back again with Todd Glass. He's on with Todd Glass. He's on the Todd Glass Show.
JJ, show off. Make him feel special. Take that same song. Can't we always do something fun with it? Let's try it. Come on. Alan Strickland, everybody.
This is great. This actually is great. Your mother sucks.
Alan Strickland. You are just great. We had that song. It cut off in the middle, but he took it home.
He took it home.
A lot of nervousness. You know, you don't understand what me and Jake go through. A lot of decisions. It's like a pilot. So that's the one thing that we did. And then was there something else? I think that was it. What was the other one we played for him last time? Did we play that already?
Alan Strickland Williams.
That's the one.
Alan Strickland Williams.
In the flesh.
Alan Strickland Williams.
I'm at your front door.
Alan Strickland Williams.
Right to your inbox.
All right, so let's talk about this because I'm very excited to talk about this. And this, you know, it gives Corey a lot of credit because he does.
My ride's here.
My ride's here, and I said it first. By the way, there's a recording of this. Sorry, I didn't mean to yell.
I would say that was a three-way tie.
I think that's
well, would
time.
You? That's sure. You'd like to say that because you lost. Yeah, I'd always like to think anyway, when I lost that it ended up being a three-way.
I don't know.
You know how I think it would be good?
I just wasn't up on the mic, but I yelled it.
Oh, stop it already. It's embarrassing. No, I don't even care.
I also
care.
Wanted
you know
to point
what?
Out that I count. I
guys,
did two
I know
during
it means,
the break.
Guys, I know it means a lot to you to win. I don't care. You can have it.
Don't do that.
No, that you're right. It's very passive aggressive.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. Yes, you do.
Anyone that says that they don't care cares. That's
Kevin,
always the way
Kevin
it goes.
Meaney used to say he didn't care, and it ends up he cares. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. Girls call me pluck, pluck, plucky. I don't care. Bing, bing, bing. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Look out, Hank Mancini. Here comes Kevin. You know, you have to learn about Kevin Meaney.
I know Kevin Meaney. I don't know that. Is that well, a
when, he, when a joke didn't go over, he would tell a bad joke.
I don't care.
Pause it for 1 second. He would tell a joke on purpose. By the way, I know I just bastardized it, but I adore Kevin Meaney. He would tell a joke.
You got to put your eye out with
right,
that
right.
thing. Yeah,
and then at the end of the show, he sticks his mic and he goes, ah, my eye. Someone, one of your crazy comedian friends is going to stick a needle in that microphone and you're going to put your eye out. Why do you make jokes like that? It could happen. One of your friends will put a needle yeah. in it. So he would tell a joke about his gloves. You go, you know the thing in my car? You go to put the gloves in the glove box. The only problem is there's no room for the gloves. These are globe jokes, people. Please try to stay up with me. And then they wouldn't get a laugh. Go, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
My jokes don't go over. I don't care. Everybody, I don't care. I don't. He does not care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't. He does not care. I don't care. I'm happy-go-lucky. Women call me plucky. I don't care. I don't care. I don't, he does not care. I don't care. Look out, Hank Mancini. Here comes Zini Meany. I don't care. One more time. No! I don't care. I don't. Shut up.
We hate you.
We hate you. I don't care. We're gonna kill you. I don't care. Bing, bing, bing. Zoom, zoom, zoom. This is stupid. Making noises on the show. That's not right. Why do you do this to your father and
he
I?
He did that on the Tonight Show, and
wow.
Johnny loved it.
That's great.
By the way, that would go on a little longer sometimes at clubs.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know what? When it was killing, I loved it because I knew it was in a room with brilliant people. There's uh-huh. no way you would love that and not be brilliant. I think to understand that type of comedy, you have to at least be artistically open-minded first, and I think those tend to be cool people to hang out with.
I think you're right. I think I overheard you say something this weekend that was to the effect of, I love comedy and bits that annoy dumb people, because that would definitely annoy a dumb person.
It would, and I almost understand, to be honest. Like, I can understand a dumb person, not dumb. Dumb's not the right word, but we know. No, you know what? No, we could do better. What is the right word? I don't mind saying dumb either, because we get people that don't understand irony.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
They're not dumb.
Or not into it. Like,
yeah,
into
at a time of breaking it down analytically, I don't want to say that, but you're right. Sloppily backstage,
yeah.
I did say that because there's some truth that I go, I love. Sometimes it's fun to do bits that annoy dumb people. But the thing is, it would only be mean to me if you didn't think it was funny.
But
then
sometimes
that's
you do know those people are just straight up dumb.
Well,
like,
dumb yeah. is a funny word. I like to say more, doi. So I don't care, I don't care. Bing, 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 zoom, zoom, zoom. I'm happy, you're lucky. These girls call me pluck, pluck, plucky. So I have an idea for a one-man show, and I think he'd be all right for this. And I'm actually half, I'm 100% serious, but I'm too lazy to do it. I think it would work. I really do. Because I think, here's what it's saying. It's not saying with this concept work. It's saying this is how fucking Kevin Meany is. If Kevin Meany, I've said this, and I'm going to say it two ways. One, if he just went back out, did his act. Now, whether Comedy Central would give him a special or not, I don't know. But if they did, if they go, yeah, we're giving him an hour special, did the same exact thing, exactly, it would have a new audience again. Because it's that funny. It mm-hmm. stands the test of time. He'd have to change a few things, but he would. I'm sure he has. But I'm saying keep the brux of it. He might not even want to do this. He might go, you know, I don't want to do that. But if he did, so my idea would work for that reason only. So here's my idea. I have a show. It's a play. And in my play, it opens up. I go, I remember I was 24 years old. And I walked in. I wouldn't have to do it that bad.
I like that.
And I went to the Comedy and Magic Club. And out on the stage walked Kevin Meaney. And the house goes dark. I go backstage. I put a quick tie on. I put my jacket on that he used to wear with the bow tie.
Uh-huh.
And they go, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Meaney. And I come out and do his whole act. For word. Just down. I have it down. I have to learn it. I've never worked so hard in my entire life. I would maybe to learn this. Then I come out and I do it. And then at the end, it goes dark again. I go, and that was the most fun I ever had. And that's the show. What? Well, a play is from your life. Why can't I tell that? I did go see it.
That is so funny.
I did go see it.
That
why
is
can't
the,
I?
So if I the laziest so... way to write, sure, just to do another person.
But guess
all...
what? I don't think it has to be bad. I think this can be respected. And I give him money. I give him money. Like, I treat it like that's the script.
It's kind of interesting. It's like...
Well, in my first scenario, by the way, I wasn't thinking of giving him money. To me, the joke was, well, if you have a one-man show and you saw the Rolling Stones and you wanted to talk about
exactly.
it, can't you talk about it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the night... But you can't... No. So in this... In my real scenario, it would be like that's the script.
Right.
And he would have to be in on it. But if I had the type of money... I'm not kidding you. Like, if I had... You know how people get rich? They open up restaurants. They do... Would I toy with that idea if it cost maybe... I'm talking about doing it right. You have to have, like... $250,000, you promote it, you make a big deal about it, you shoot a special for it. Would I learn that and want to do that? I think so. I think so. But only if I had a big promoter that would go, yeah, we're going to – whatever. If I think it would make money because I think it'd end up being a draw. So if mm-hmm. I was a promoter, I would promote that show. My play. I'm not joking around. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Why don't you all go thank yourselves? I'm trying to be nice. No, go thank yourself. So anyway – Play. I wanted to do this. I really did. Can you grab me a bottle of water if you don't mind, Raymond? I would, but my
just right.
bum, my. Give me something. We have royalty.
My kids.
Bum 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 bum. That's what we should do when you come into the room. We should play like a salute of like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the great Alan Strickland Williams. Make that your ringtone, asshole.
That's part of it.
And leave the asshole part yeah. in, too. And leave this part in, too. Hey, you around them at the place where you just heard it. I hope you like this ringtone. Leave that in, too. Why not?
Just leave the whole podcast in.
Yeah, it's a really long ringtone.
Leave the whole podcast.
I only pick up on the second ring. It's like 3 hours later.
So let's talk about Corey's show. So here's the call I get.
Let's do it.
Here's the call I get. I get a call.
Oh, he called you. I just got an email.
Guy
that doesn't realize things aren't different. Like, oh, he called you. I just got
guess
an
what?
Email.
I do get an email, but then I end up talking to Rory. He goes, yeah, it's in a wine country. I thought I heard, like, it's they take, like,
oh,
the...
Oh, yeah, Rory. Yeah, Rory loves it up there.
Yeah, he did. And it's... Where's it at again? Tell people.
Healdsburg, California, Sonoma County.
So I know it's going to be up there. And he on the phone, he says there's, like, someone who owns the winery and someone else, they own a cottage. So you have, like,
a cider...
Yeah.
Cider factory.
And then they have... We stayed at, like... It was definitely like it was like a hotel, but it was a cottage. It
sure.
Had, but you had a, just like a regular room, but it had a cool little patio. The accommodations were great. Like you got there, you're like, oh, cool. That's what I heard. He goes, oh, you'll love that. And they take like a hangar that served on the winery as where they keep all the wine. And they do a show in there. But when I got there, they took the boxes. You know all this, mm-hmm. but I'm just – let me get the audience up. They took boxes and they like made it warm. Like they created a stage area with like – they must have taken their pallets of cool – well, it all looks cool when you see 100 of the same box or thousands. And it creates this sort of artwork in itself, all these cool stacked boxes. They made a hallway to come in the place, and then they had local artists hang stuff, mm-hmm. and you're walking through.
And the lighting was good in there?
The lighting, they put like red and blue and yellow lights shining up on all the boxes, and they had a food truck that pulled into mm-hmm. the hangar. It wasn't outside, pulled into the hangar, the door shut behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's inside now, this food truck with cool crepes, and I thought it was burritos. I felt bad on stage. I kept going, is there any way I can get a burrito after them? Because I wanted to get off stage and have a burrito waiting backstage, and I knew if I said it on stage, I would have a burrito, but they brought it to me. They go, hope this is all right. Are you kidding me? Fuck burritos. Whatever this thing was, it was great. It was like fluffiness and beautiful and chicken and this cool cheese in it. It was so good. Whatever that food truck was, get it. So anyway, Alan's there.
Yeah.
Do you, when you walk in, are you surprised when you see what the way it looks?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was it's Sonoma cider, and they make organic cider. And I went up to a festival that Corey runs in Healdsburg as well a few months before this, and
It wasn't in the big room, right?
Wasn't in the big room.
They just did a few little rooms.
They did a show. I think they did one show there at the festival, but everything else was at tasting rooms. But anyway, that was
the
first time I ever had cider. And then to go to this show, you walk in, and yeah, like Todd's right. It's a warehouse. They obviously moved a lot of stuff out of the way and stacked it on top of each other.
Oh, real quick. They took kegs and they stacked them two on top of each other to make a bar, like where you go up to a bar and put your drink on it type of a bar, not a placer. And then they put a piece of big wood on top. And they made bars all over. And then they stacked pallets. So when people couldn't seat, there was like seating for $250. But then there were pallets stacked all over the place at different levels, so people could sit on a pallet, like up 10 feet, up 20 feet, up.
And the wall, like it's like instead of the brick wall behind you at a comedy club, it's just case after case, after case of cider,
and they had
just
a,
all the way to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like all the way up.
All the way to the ceiling.
Around the back, around the sides of the audience.
Yes.
Everywhere you looked when you were on stage, it was almost the best point in the entire room, because on stage you could see the whole crowd. You could see the two bars in the back, the food truck in the back, and just everywhere you look was either a keg or a case of cider. 340 people there, probably. Yeah. It was crazy.
And then, so here's the audience is great. They make a stage. There's lighting. The room is dark. It's, you know. So, and then
that
was after
Robert Quartz. That was the guy that worked there. He set it all up. He set up the whole venue.
And they were so nice.
Yeah.
When you got there, they were just like, it's like, you feel like they owned a comedy club. That's the way they should. They acted like, you know, at those clubs like the DC Improv and Helium's. Like, you just walked in and you were like, you know, they're like, hey, and anything like, oh, wait, do you run a club every week? I knew they didn't. That's the sarcastic compliment. You know, what do you run a club every week? How do you know? Hey, there's food over there if you want to. And that, by the way, that's the opposite of what we were talking about.
Sure.
God, it goes a long way. And I don't think they did it because they knew that they would benefit by it. I really don't. As a matter of fact, they didn't. That's who they are. But God damn it, does it feel great. Just the warmth. And by the way, all that warmth, if you think about it, what did it – and I'm only breaking it down to bring back the thing from the opening. It ended up – you know, they brought that turkey – what is it called? They made crepes, a turkey crepe backstage. Maybe I had four beers the whole night, if that, and a turkey crepe. But I won't shut the fuck up about it. That's how far it goes. I got off stage. There was one waiting backstage. Hey, a waitress would come back, or someone, just a manager of the winery. Hey, if you want any beers, you know, if you know it's hard to get them out there, we'll bring them back. And like, so at the end of the day, we had three or four beers and a turkey crepe, and I can't shut up about it because that's how special it made me feel.
It was great. You know, you walk in, they're instantly taking care of you. They're making sure that you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And you know, like Corey's a comic too. Performed on the show, you know, and he had all this stuff going on in his head and that he had to clear and take
he was
care
still
of for the venue. Still so nice,
not stressed,
didn't stress anyone out.
I couldn't do that. That's funny you say it, because like I thought, if I was him with all – he's producing a show. Mm-hmm. By the way, he has the right to say he's producing a show because he produced a fucking show.
It was
He added a level to it. Here comes the part of that.
Yeah.
Here, by the way, if that was the end of the show and it ended and they played music, we'd still be talking about it.
Yeah.
But here comes the fucking... So there's like people hanging out, musicians keep coming backstage. Isn't that what it feels like?
Yeah.
All of a sudden a guy walks in with a trombone, then two guys walk in with a clarinet, then a guy walks in with a drum that you wear on your back, and then somebody else comes in later with a tuba, and then somebody else keeps walking in with a... And I think afterwards they're going to play on the stage, and I'm pretty excited just for that.
Yeah.
Is that what you pictured?
Yeah.
That they would play on the stage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Probably sound pretty good. And they keep getting there, and when the show's over, bam, they go out there. And then they clear the chairs. All the chairs get cleared pretty quick. And the way I look at it, this isn't what they were literally saying, but we talked about this off the air. You see, some of the crowd started to leave, you know, and it wasn't like they were going to say, oh, let's play. It's like, here's the way I felt like the direction seemed like it was given, even though it wasn't. But I love saying it this way. They go, oh, no, we're not going to wait for you to leave. We're going to bulldoze into the middle of that crowd and start playing this. And you will hear the beat of the drum and the beat of the fucking tuba. And it's like, it's a lot of energy to just plow right in the middle. And then they're all around it. And people go, holy shit.
And it was Dixieland music.
Is that? Yes. Yeah. I should probably should
like
say
Mardi
that.
Gras, Dixieland type music.
The type where they'd be all playing and then they'd stop and then they'd all sing together. But it sounds cool that they're not. sounds weird. It's not that they're the best singers in the world, but there's just a simpletonness of it.
Yeah.
But there's the tightness of it, and it just sounds fucking great. And then the drum, and then the tuba, and then people will cut to a dark warehouse with just some red and blue lights everywhere. They were so smart. They even turned off an overhead light. Like, I thought, somebody here gets it. They felt the vibe of the room. It needs to be darker. And everyone was dancing. They were dancing around people. Like, there would have been a tuba player right next to you. And then a trumpet player over there. And then, boom, all of a sudden you look up, there's a clarinet player on three pallets up.
Yeah.
And they all stop. And he plays a solo. And then, boom, back to the drummer. And then it was like, and then at one point they all laid down on the floor. You
yeah.
remember that?
Yeah.
And, of course, they know. They've done this before. Good for them. Yeah, guess what everybody else does? Lays down on the floor, fucking yeah. floor with all these instruments playing, and it got quieter and quieter and quieter. And then they built back up. And I was like, God, it made me feel like, you know what I felt like? Of course, you're the same way. I was nice to them, so were you. We
yeah.
talked to them. That's all. Hey, where are you from?
They were very complimentary. They were great. They had a great time.
But when I saw them play, I'm like, oh, I was in the room with greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care where it's at. I don't care that they're not, you know, you don't see them on their own show. And, whatever they do, that group, they give a shit. They get together. They rehearse. They're as tight as a fuck. And that was like a performance. I was like, wow. And we kept thinking, we don't get to see this in real life. This is just movies. That's how you have to say, oh.
It did seem like a movie.
It was a movie.
What was it? It was the Dixie Giants? Was that it?
I want to learn their name. And if I don't know it now, I'll say it right in the opening.
I think that's what it is. I think it's the Dixie Giants.
I was surprised you were so – you and Blake – you were like, you got comfortable out there.
It's
Blake was like a fucking chicken on coke and acid.
Yeah, Blake was having a very good time. Blake was having fun.
And someone asked me what he was on. I'm like, you know,
we had like eight. I had like eight ciders.
Yeah, he had like five at that point. But still, that's Blake with no cider.
Yeah, it was just so much fun. It was like, you know what? It really that was already, like you said, already a great mm-hmm. show. One of the best shows I've ever done. Definitely one of the best shows I've ever done outside of L.A. Definitely the best show I've ever done in a fucking cider factory. Like, you know,
it was
just
special.
So crazy. But then that moment was like, I see this band and they all seem like nice guys. And then it was just like, man, you know what? This pushes it over the line from just being a really good show to a moment, to an experience, to like a memory. Like, and I was like, yeah, when I look back on this, like, I want to have been dancing like out there, like with the band. And like, it was just fun. It was just fun. It wasn't like, oh, I'm nervous. Everyone's just having fun. Everyone's a little drunk. Like,
and everybody was silly dancing is what I call it.
It was silly, yeah.
It was silly dancing. Nobody was out there. It was just everybody. You could dance by yourself. You could dance with somebody. You could just stand on the side and like move your head.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was that comfortable. And there was, here's my favorite point. It was such a great, was it a fucking great moment. There's a point when I realize it. They're playing and they're playing, and then I go, oh, they just took control. And it went from 30 seconds to go, oh my God, 30 seconds. They started playing at 2 seconds, 3 seconds. I'm like, yeah, I'll go out and listen to them soon. I love this type of music, but I'm going to finish up. And then I heard something. I'm like, what the fuck? They got tight. You know what I mean? Like they would throw bass, and then this would come on, and then I went out there, and then I'm like, oh, I want to experience this with Alan and Blake. Like, where are they? I'm not going to be able to find them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was high and it was overwhelming, and I thought, there's 250 people here. Like, what are the odds of me finding them? I want to be with them watching this going, what the fuck? And then, God damn it, I saw you within a second after that.
Uh-huh.
That's when I came over and I was like, are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah.
And we were like, this is like, if you told someone that you did mushrooms and you had a problem with mushrooms, remember this bit?
Uh-huh.
And then they said they were going to be clean and they were being good. And then they called you the next day and they went, I went out up to, and there was a band and they were playing and there were tuba players and they would all get down on the floor and they'd be like, you're doing drugs again. No, I'm not. I swear. It was in a dark winery and they stacked boxes and artwork and there were tuba players and trumpet players and band members and they were dancing all over and clarinet players would pop out behind a box and then a drummer would like jump from a 20-foot pallet and land next to another person and then they had a bullhorn and they all sang. All right. That's not what fucking happened.
And there were crepes. Okay, calm down.
There was a truck with crepes.
A truck with crepes.
And it drove inside, and they shut the door behind it.
Yeah, it does all sound really ridiculous.
And we were all there dancing all over, laying on the floor singing. All right.
Sure.
And then I would go, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so I was glad you were a part of it.
It was so much fun, and everyone had such a good time. People were so thankful, like, or gracious or whatever, like... it was like, God, that was really nice to be part of. That felt pretty special.
I'm glad you felt the same way because I did too. It really did. It was something special. And I was like, that's why I wanted you here tonight because I thought, oh, no one else is going to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Corey, Sal, and Robert, they just all did great work.
The guy from Funny or Die was there. Dom?
Dominic? Oh, he's from, what's he, from Rooftop, I think.
No, I don't like him.
Yeah, me either. I don't know.
No, he's great.
And he
he's
wasn't great. There?
He wasn't there. Hey, thank you. These pictures better look good you're taking, Nick, because, you know, I don't like to... Well, some of the pictures you take. I mean, Nick thinks I'm like a model, so he gets real close. I try to compliment myself. No, he thinks I'm like a...
He keeps telling me I look really good.
He tells me, he goes, no, you can get close with you. With skin like that, why would I stay far back? Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. A
lot of fun. And then, I mean, just the town, Healdsburg, is wonderful.
And the people after the
show. Wonderful.
They were nice. Like, every time you started talking to a group of people, they were really enjoyable to talk to.
Yeah.
And interesting. And you would just start talking about, like, different things with different people. I probably talked to maybe 6 groups.
Yeah.
I would, like, switch, and then I would go over to this group, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to stay with this group all night. Then you found yourself talking to somebody else.
The people I've met up there have just been really amazing and generous.
I hooked up. By the way, whenever I say that, I think of with a woman. Because all the lies from over the years. I still think. No, when I think of, like, a bit, when I go, oh, if I get married, like, when I see that band, and when I should have them at my wedding, I said the other day, I go, by the way, I'm being honest. I'm not delusional. I get it. And anybody with, you know, you could figure out why. But like when I saw that band and I said, if I had a wedding, I'd have that band that we just talked about.
Yeah.
I think of a woman.
Yeah.
I just think of me and a woman. Like eventually I'll meet her. But I know that's not true. And I've known that for a long time. I'm just saying inwardly, subconsciously. I don't want people to get nervous that listen to the show like, oh my God, Todd still thinks he's going to meet a woman. I will. She'll be nice. She'll teach Jim. So here's what I thought. I think we should get some fresh air. And to recreate it, JJ listened to I told him to listen to one of the songs today.
Okay.
And let's get some fresh air. And then JJ will play along with a song that we picked from their CD.
Oh,
I got
nice.
Their CD.
Cool. Awesome.
And
awesome.
We can say that'll be play a good night to that bit.
Yeah.
Play
yeah.
it homage. We have so much. Well, we have the play the weed. I love weed.
Weed, weed. I love weed. I love weed. Weed, weed. I love weed.
So
weed.
I figured out, and then we'll take a break, that there's a lot of people going through sobriety, seriously, and there are the benefits of that.
Mm-hmm.
There really are. So let's have a song. Let's not only have songs for the people, you know. And by the way, I notice a big difference between people that go through sobriety and people that go through over the years, I've known a few, especially when I was younger, born-again Christians.
Oh, interesting.
A friend of a friend. They're boring because they don't make pretend their past happened. So they're just like, what? Come on, you can clean up and still not make pretend that you didn't do that. You don't remember you did that? Like now you're just denying that part of your life. When I find mostly people that are clean, at least in my experience, from whatever it's heroin or whether they're still fucking fun. Sometimes I go, that's cool you can go out like that. That's a cool place to be. And still be, even some of my friends that are AA can obviously be around drinking.
Sure.
And they're still fun. But
it's
not born again Christian shit.
No, you're absolutely right. There's some, I mean, a lot of comics I feel like do, as a comedian, you meet a lot of people that stop drinking or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so great when you see your friends and people that you, and they're so funny on stage and stuff. When you see them when they quit drinking and it's not. They didn't lose anything. It only made them even stronger.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It is.
I hate when people say that thing of like, well, you know, I'm an artist. I got to be tortured. I got to drink, blah, blah, blah.
No.
It's like, no. Like, there's nothing. Like, can you imagine? And same thing about the born again Christian thing. It's like, why not embrace your past? Because think about how funny, especially as a comic, think about how funny you can make it. From this perspective, now you are now from clean, looking back on that crazy, stupid, really probably messed up shit you used to do. Like
I was never
so
I never
funny.
Did anything. I hope I'm answering that. I never went like coke or anything. I sort
right,
of lucked
right.
out. Mine's food.
Yeah.
I get all my empathy from people that are addicted to drugs. I think I've said this on the show before. All mine's from food. I go, if it wasn't for Lipitor, I'd like to bullshit myself.
Uh-huh.
I did quit smoking. I'm not like I smoke pot, but I quit smoking cigarettes completely. And I take my Lipitor every fucking day.
Yeah.
So there, that's a big thing. You go have your, you got a second chance at life? No. I quit smoking. I didn't take the medicine before, but the food, it's horrendous. And if it wasn't for the Lipitor, I don't know what I'd do. I might be like my dad and just slowly hoped and done enough, but with the thing where I wouldn't have another heart attack, but then they would have to maybe clean me out again. Uh-huh. So that's where I get my empathy for people that are addicted to drugs. So it's like, I get it. It's like, fuck, it's not easy. So let's have the type of show where we show that there's positives of that. They can be. It doesn't have to be weed. It's not about weed, that song. It's about in that moment, that makes you feel good. Guess what? There's other things that make you feel good.
Yeah. Talking about being clean. 1 week, 1 month, 1 year. I love sobriety. Sobriety. I love sobriety. Taking back control of your life. Taking responsibility. Healing your relationships. I love sobriety. Feeling better when you wake up. Looking better in the mirror too. Taking it all one day at a time. I love sobriety. Sobriety. I love sobriety. Thinking clearly. Put your problems in the past. Put your problems in the past. Put your problems in the past and get healthy. Sobriety. I love sobriety.
In honor of all the people for the sobriety, we're going to do an elongated version of this in celebration of wherever you're at. JJ, show off. Take a break. We'll be right back. I'll let you have the last word. I'll let you have the last word.
Good morning, starshine. The earth says hello.
This is my dad. Is he good?
You twinkle.
He's really good. Yeah, he's great. He actually sounds really great, actually.
Yeah, he's professional.
Yeah, I probably would pay him a lot of money.
Oh, by the way, pause this. I want this bit to be clean because I'm gonna looking forward to doing it a lot. So I'm gonna clean it up a little. It's not the guy like I made it like oh, because you know I run HBO, so of course you're gonna lie to me because you want a show. No, it's just this is just a liar for no reason. We don't have to know why. This guy just wants to please. That's who he is. Yeah, he wants to please people.
No, he just whatever anyone else likes. He's like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
And he really sells it. But yeah. Let me ask you.
No, I'm really into it.
Does he like it? He doesn't.
No, he loves it.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if that's sadder, isn't it?
Well, oh no, he just not. He's got a big heart.
Let's make him not like it. Can we make him not
now
like
really
it?
He really hates it.
He hates it. He hates it. Watch, you're gonna go. It is funnier. Why? Hates it. Like. He can't even believe you're. This does not even qualify, is the way he feels. This is unfair to me. This is shit. This is someone that can't sing. But this is who he becomes because he wants to please people. This isn't like someone, let's say on a 10, the 10 of being the worst. It's not like this. This is, come on. He's in the music business. This is horrendous. If this is someone having fun at their house, God bless them. But you don't submit this type of shit. That's the way you feel. But. What we're about to hear is who you become. Now, I think this sets this up to be very funny. Hey, do you mind if I play my dad sings? Can I play it for you? I know you're in the record business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Are you sure it's okay?
Yeah.
Oh, let me hear it. Here you go.
Good morning, starshine.
And you, you like it?
Beer says hello.
Yeah.
No, seriously?
You twinkle above us.
Yeah.
Oh, it's... Pause it for a second. Is it professional? I mean, is he? Does he have? You can tell. Does he have a really good voice?
It sounds. It sounds really, really good.
He's play a little more for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good morning.
Do we have to start it over?
No, that sounds good. No, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Let it breathe. I get cocky. Shut up and let it breathe. Now he's good. Now that no, I know he's good.
No, it sounds really. It sounds good. It sounds really good.
I looped a part of it. My favorite part. I looped. Can I play it for you?
Sure.
I looped it. He really.
I think your dad's got a future.
Oh, you're being serious?
Yeah. Not maybe, I mean, we have a full roster.
Is this part good?
We have a full roster right now, but someone's going to sign up.
Hold on, is this part good?
Yeah, this part, this is the best part of the song. This is the, yeah.
I feel like he's off key here a little.
He sounds great.
No, look at me in the eye. Is he good? Can he make a living? Seriously.
No.
How dare you? I just got really offended. I was so into the bit that when no. How, well,
I think it's funnier if he really likes it.
I think you're right. Hey, do you like this?
Yeah. Like, like he's never heard music.
He just likes it.
I love this.
What about if my way was fun, but this is a different way?
I didn't know music could sound so good.
Oh, that is so nice for me to hear. My dad's so paranoid.
What's your dad's name?
Oh, now this guy really does like it.
He loves it.
Oh, you're right. I like this better.
What's his name?
My dad's name is Paul.
Paul?
This is him singing.
Paul, if you're... Paul, you're great. He just finds Paul in the party.
I feel like she's not even there. Like, I get him on the phone. I go, Paul, he loves you. Can you just let it breathe a little and really enjoy it? I want you to hear it so you can judge it fairly.
I love it. No, wait. Hold on. Do that. Do the let it breathe.
Well, listen. Do you mind? Because I don't want to tell him how much you love the music. By the way, the bit works. We're at a party. I find out you're in the record business. This to fill people in that are having difficulty. But no, because before I go back to my dad and tell him he's good, can you just let it breathe a little? So I can really know you're hearing what he sings like.
Sure. Okay. I love it.
Well,
even
can
before you,
you
even stop singing.
And you do love it. Oh, you're right. That's funnier.
Yeah.
You like it?
I love it. I'm not even.
Why do you love it so much?
It sounds like my dad.
Can you let it? Can you let it breathe?
I love this.
Can you? I've heard everything I need to hear. I think this is the
everything.
Type of song you gotta let breathe. Can you just let it breathe?
This is great. I love this.
Okay, but can you let it? Can you just listen and just so you can
of
really?
Course.
Okay, so just listen to the song now.
So good.
Okay, you're not really listening. You understand? I don't want to be a dick, but can you just let it? Can you let the song play for a minute without saying you love it?
Of course.
Okay, so here you go. Play it.
I love this.
Okay, you're not. You instantly do what you say you're not going to do. I don't know how to explain it to you.
I can't help but say that.
So, are
I love
your
it.
Intentions every time to literally let it breathe, but you're so overwhelmed?
I am literally trying to keep my mouth shut. I don't realize I'm talking.
Can I shut your mic off? Wait, in the bit, there's no mic.
maybe there is.
Yeah, maybe.
Weird bit.
Oh, geez. Okay. Let it just. Now, hold on.
What's up?
So just so thank you for letting it breathe.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, I because I feel, well, I feel bad because he's here and he's singing over in the corner.
I love it. I love it. I'm back in.
Remember what I said. Whenever the show's having trouble, play this. Well, it wakes people up. No, that's what Chris Hardwick told me. He said, you play your cowbell, you wake your listeners up. You know, I think it sounds disrespectful. He goes, there are cows, the people that listen to the show, and you need to ring a bell to wake them up. I say, Chris, maybe you think of people that way, but I don't. What did you just say?
Like, they're just a herd.
They're a herd. I go, no, they're not. They're like people you meet. He goes, nah, you bang a bell. That'll keep them
occupied. They don't even have names, he says.
You know what he says to me? Thank you. This is the way he talks. It's what you're doing, right? He said, Todd, we could play a bell and they would listen. He goes, they would. If you play the bell.
He said that.
He goes, you play a bell for a minute, I promise you, no one's going to turn off your podcast. They don't give a shit. So I'm like, oh my God, he's right.
And yeah, no one else is listening.
I mean, no, people just listen to that. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
I don't like this bit. I do like it, but... All right, please. Wow. Because that's funny. Of
course he was right.
Of
he
course
right.
They're listening because it's in the context. They're not going to just... I know. Why do I over-explain things? Then people say, don't worry about over-explaining things.
Well, here's the other thing now, though.
So I'm not apologizing. I take my apology back. I over-explain it in a very tough... Hey, if you don't like the way I over-explain it, then get the fuck away.
But even if they stop listening to the... it doesn't matter anymore. Because now, when you stop listening to something, you don't necessarily just, like... In the car, if you don't like the song that's on, you used to have to, like, change the dial to go to a different station. Mm. Now you just go 30 seconds beyond.
Yeah, you
that.
Go. So they would just...
They would still be listening. They just...
Right, they would press 30 skipped. Seconds. People might have done... Well, what about the people that are now going, I didn't press 30 seconds. They might have come in 3 seconds, and then you miss it, then you're going back. There's people... By the way, the people that listen, you're the right ones. Because... Yes, how long was it going to go? Why skip forward 15 seconds and then you miss it and then you got to go back?
Yeah.
You think they're going to come in eventually, and if they do it, and quite frankly, there's people disappointed in us.
Well,
they're going,
what
you should have done it longer.
What about the crazy thing that happened that if you skipped ahead, you might not have heard?
Right.
Yes.
Right. And there's people going, why did you go so short? There's other people who went, you could have done that for a minute longer, and you know it, Todd. You know it. Why do you get so nervous? If you're laughing in the studio, why did you think, oh, are they laughing? Like the concept of people literally listening to a bell. Yes, it gets funnier and funnier, and I didn't let it breathe, and I should be embarrassed. Because listeners were like, no, we know what you're doing. Just fucking commit. Fucking commit. Pause it. I gotta say this. It's worth breaking the bit. So I'm playing the bell, and I look at JJ. I go play with it. So he gets up, he gets his trumpet, he walks over to the mic, and then he looks at me like, what do you want me to play? And I look at him like, just play whatever you want. And then I think he's thinking, to what? But in the show, you have to try.
Whatever decision you make would have been funny.
It would have been funny. So now we go back. Todd, you play the bell. Don't give up on it. We would have listened another minute. It's something funny. Yet first you think, well, it'll be funny again. We've done it twice before. And then once you hear the boom, boom, who would listen to that unless there was something about to happen within a bit? But for now, that's who you're going to make pretend to be, the people that would listen to a bell. Like in the event that Chris Hardwick's right, which, of course, it's a bit. He's not. But what if in the bit, like, and there's some weird way they go, people would listen to cowbells. Trust me. They don't care. You think you're so, you have this and you have points to say. It's some like movie, almost like the Howard Stern movie. They come into your podcast. No one gives a shit. And Chris Hardwick is the guy in this scene in a movie. He's going, nobody gives a fuck about your podcast. Let me tell you something, Glass. You, Marin, all these fucking guys with their podcasts. Nobody gives a fuck. You found a niche group of people that, for whatever reason, this period, they're going to... They're not... It's not... No one gives a fuck. You could play... They don't... You think you connect with them on your opinions? You think that's why you bond with people because of some... You'd play a fucking cowbell and these fucks would listen to it. Trust me. They don't give a fuck about you. You don't have to show off in front of company.
I love it.
No, but whenever I just tie him to play, if I'm having a dinner, he doesn't hit those notes. But in here, he shows off when there's a lot of pretty ladies around. Shh, people think we're pretty ladies. No, I get it. Chris Hardwick, you usually have some hot girls around the studio. I said, but what do you... I do. Whoever comes by. He goes, yeah, well, get some hot pussy in that room.
Hardwick's like Robert Evans in this scenario.
All right, so listen. So that bit, you know what happens, but at least you're in the moment. That bit, I liked it, then I got lost, and then I thought, I hope this bell banging is as funny as I think it's going to be. This is the pressure that it takes to steer a ship like this. I know what people want. That's what it is. Inevitably, I know what people want. I know they're listening. They're like, oh, what do they want? Oh, I think they want something like this.
I saw the light on the night that she passed by her window. I saw the friction.
They want to hear this guy sing that I found on the internet with JJ adding trumpet to it. And this guy gets to find it and go, oh, shit, they took my song, which is nice, and we added trumpet to it. This is what people want.
As she deceived me, I watched and went out of my mind.
I know what people want. I'm lost.
Okay.
But I'm finding my way home.
Yep.
And what can I do but be honest? Was that the right way to explain what just happened? I got lost.
Yeah, that's fine.
I got lost with the thing, with the music. I don't know anymore. I'm having a nervous breakdown. I'm fine. I hope you're fine. Oh, guess what we were going to do?
What?
That's the name of the game. Guess what we're going to do? I try to make it look like you know what I'm doing. No, there are a few things. Hold on.
What's on the list?
What's on the list? What time is it?
Okay. 9:14.
You're so unprofessional. Well, you should
I'm
be.
Not the one asking for the time.
Only professionals know what time it is.
Hey, remember in the beginning how he was so afraid? Now he yells at me. No, I'm scared. No, Aristotle scares me now. The tables have turned.
Well, it's Halloween.
It's spooky. Is that my Halloween that we're now? I'm afraid of you. Well, I'm not the one asking for the goddamn time when you should buy a watch. The coasters I got you don't use. That's
you
what he's really upset about.
Do you not
about.
Wear a watch, Todd?
I don't. You know why? I don't want to be restricted by a time put on us by the... I'm just kidding, but I wanted to be that person, and I couldn't think of enough words to do it any longer. You know those people. I won't be restricted by the government's... I won't shut up.
The rules don't apply to me.
Yeah. Guess what? Well, maybe they don't.
Well, maybe they don't.
I hate to see something happen.
Is that Brando?
Brando. Joe was at the... What was that? Hey, you know, it'd be the worst thing to do now. Like, you ever been in a? You ever have to do improv? Yeah, I hope it comes organically on this show. How we start doing stupid bits, but in an improv troupe where someone threw something at me, forget it. I'm the worst. Like, I don't want to have like someone go, "You're a." You're a fish, and but you talk. I get nervous.
I'm so bad at improv, I don't even try to criticize it, because I...
No, I'm saying I'm bad at it, too.
No, but that's the thing, though. I kind of will make fun of, like, their little games and stuff, but, like, really, I'm making fun of them, like, I'm so bad at this. Like, I can't pretend to be a fish. I don't know what that means, pretend to be a fish. I'm
like
not
this.
A fish.
You
I'm not like, a fucking fish. You like, I can't pretend to be a fish.
You'd be great in class. I'm not a fish. No, I'm not a fish. No, I'm not. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm not a fish. I'm not trying to be an asshole. But
I'm just a guy taking an improv class.
I'm not a fish. I can't. This seems like a character Eddie Pepitone would do. Because I could never... I would never go to one of those improv classes because it would be hard for me. You be the teacher and I'll be Eddie in the bit to say, okay,
so guys, gather around in a circle. We're just going to go around the room and everyone just list a make and model of car. Okay, we'll start with you, Eddie.
What are we doing?
We're just going to go around the circle just to get us used to talking and
not
speaking.
Not used to talking.
Like vroom, vroom.
I need to have
good
ideas. I don't want to act like a car.
Okay, no, we're not saying act like a car.
I feel stupid. Can't act like a car. I'm not a car.
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
See, if that's the way I'm going to look, I'd rather. All right, I'm done.
That was actually good, though.
You know what? It wasn't. I hope Eddie listens to the show and gets upset with me. No, that would be my punishment I deserve.
I can't do impersonations. And why do I put this whole room?
Hey, wait a second, though. What about that Rodney Dangerfield impression? That's a pretty good one.
Oh, I guess you're right.
What if I was
the
guy?
I'll tell you, you know.
People
like when I do it with the Mitch Hedberg jokes, right?
It's good, yeah.
Sure.
I'm asking you a question, too. It's good, yeah.
Sure, I feed you your compliment. All right, let's do this. Are you comfortable?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Because you're great. You're great. You're easy to be around. You're fun.
Cool.
Everything's
good.
But here's the problem. I gotta probably wrap the. I need $100, or this show's not gonna make it through the week. There's any way you and I know your family's rich. I mean, I don't know that, but the way you dress, I figure they are.
I got $200.
Really?
I'll give you $200.
Give me $250. I won't say anything.
$300.
Eh, give
we
me
call
five.
It a deal.
Give me $500.
$1,000. I'm out the door.
You know what? You're the worst.
The worst negotiator.
Listen, I won five.
Confident.
You'd be the worst. I mean, a parody of worst. This guy's up. By the way, you play him well because nothing to say about the way you are. Just more your acting ability. Woo! That was a close one. Woo! I really got out of that. Edit that out. Anyway, I'll give you a clean in. Okay. Well, isn't that fun? You know, I'm kidding.
That was great.
So here's what I wanted to say about... Oh, so you're the guy. What was the character we were about to build?
The really bad negotiator.
Oh, bad negotiator. Yeah. Worst. It's like ridiculous.
Okay.
It's not... It's absurd. Oh, I won $5,000 for the car. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm probably not going to take a lot less.
Okay, I'll give you $6,000. No question.
Okay, here's the deal. I'll take $7,000, but...
Okay, I give you my car, you keep your car too, and I...
You got really bad really quick.
Yeah.
Why would he give him? Okay, you don't even. He keeps his car. So he here's what he does. He gets your car. He keeps the car he's selling to you, and you're about to remake a bid.
Yeah,
yeah, you go. Listen, you keep my car. You keep the car you're selling me.
Okay, here's the thing.
And you're gonna walk out of there minus money. You're the horrible.
No, here, no, it goes like this. I give you my car.
Shut
up. $2,000, and you keep your car. That's how you would have.
You basically walked over there, dropped off your car, and gave him $2,000. Right? Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Pink slip is in your hand. I buy the car for $7,000. Sign it over your name. You keep the car.
I'll tell you what. Throw on $5,000 on top of that. You have a deal. This guy knows you're an idiot. He's taking advantage of you.
I'm out the door. I'm in. All I'm
right.
in.
Listen, here's what I'd like to do for you. God, there's a lot of clicking going on. I don't care. I know it throws JJ off with his trumpet ear. I try to make someone else the bad person. God, you were firing away with that camera. I got to be honest. I think it makes me feel a little important, so I let it go. I'm like, does somebody need that many pictures of this podcast? I guess it's, you know, the real deal. So I let it go in the background. Then after a while, I'm like, all right, come on. No one took ever so many pictures. 9/11 didn't have as many pictures as you just took of us. And
amen.
That's more, and that,
amen. And that's thank more. You.
9/11 didn't have jingles.
Well, you know what? That's why. Well, it would if I was around. I didn't know what to say. No, I would have made jingles to make it more fun.
I am so...
Joe, listen up. Now, I know you think you have your limits. But there's nothing wrong with what we're asking you to do. It's in a bit, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you were around for 9/11, what were the jingles you would have made? And I own that this is funny.
Wait. Hold on.
Look at all.
Wait.
I shouldn't.
Around for 9/11?
If you were around.
Are you guys around for 9/11?
No, I mean, if you were. Wait, you were around.
No, but that's just. It's like. I was around.
I was just
hanging out.
If I was around, here's what I meant to say. I was around. I was here on this planet. Well, 9/11, and of course I remember it. But what I meant was, if I was in charge.
Oh.
If I was in charge, like I was the governor, I would try to play the jingles on the morning radio to lessen the pain.
I got you.
I'm not going to make jingles about the horrific things.
Is that how you hear
it? But maybe, look at all that smoke from the, I don't know.
We're working hard to clean it up.
Right. 9/11, put it behind us. I don't know, whatever joke.
Is that how you handle terrorism, is just jingles?
Sure. Well, you make a nice jingle for the terrorists. Joe, listen up. If you had to make a nice jingle for pick somebody that's doing a lot of bad in the world. If you don't want to do the other one, listen, we got to clean this up right now. Yeah. Let's not do the 9/11. I think that with your school and everything, we don't want to have anything happen, you know, locally. Local music teachers seem to have another side. Here singing a song about how Hitler had a nice complexion. You know, you could see him doing some weird song for the show. Same with this. Apparently, Mr. McKinsey is good with the students, but also likes singing about this thing.
Fucked up shit. They say that on the news.
So here's what I'd like to do. I want to play. I'm going to let it breathe. I want to be in a good mood. We can get some fresh air. We're going to get some fresh air. And other people, everybody does different things now that we've established it during the show. We don't have to keep it a secret. But also, you know, other people, they go, you know, you get whatever you get that's going to make you feel good.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Talking about being clean.
Ah, that's right.
1 month, 1 year.
Come on, shut up, motherfucker.
Sobriety, I love sobriety.
You don't have to be a dick about it.
Your life.
No. We're being nice to you, the sobriety, but you don't have to be like, hey, go fuck yourself with your sobriety. You weren't doing it. That's the joke.
Better when you wake up, looking better in the mirror, too. Taking it all one day.
So let's do this.
If you were smoking and then somebody played this song for you, that you didn't stop smoking?
This would help. Maybe pretend I'm smoking, so let me see if it helps.
Thinking clearly.
Is JJ going to be there with the trumpet?
Thinking
in sobriety world, playing like he's playing.
Oh yeah, sobriety's great. It's just there's a band following you all the time.
Oh, this is what sobriety's like. This song.
This song is sobriety. Yeah,
because you have the cleanness of your head.
Yeah,
you don't make the mistakes you used to make, so you sort of feel empowered.
Yeah, you're lucid.
And this is what you're like.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me listen to it a little more.
Sobriety, I love sobriety.
Yeah, I'll fucking do this. Let's hear it a little more. What's it like when you walk around on the street with this song? And so you just walk around. You wake up every day.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like this.
Inside this.
And you hear like. So you just.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's how you.
And you end up
talking about being clean. One week, 1 month, 1 year. Sobriety. 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 Sobriety.
Hold on. Yeah, let me. Fade that out. Hold on. Fade that out. So you just walk down the street, and when you're sober, because of everything you're not making, it's like, let me hear it again.
Yep.
It's like, is it really like this? Because I would do this.
Every day.
By the way, you know, to George Carlin, we're actually being serious. It must be, like, I'm making fun of it the way I'm saying it, but the part to George Carlin is, I would imagine, to have your life cleaned up, it might feel pretty fucking good when you go, oh my God, 3 years, that's right. That's what we're talking about on the show. It's like, fuck, you're a superhero.
You gotta be a very mature person to appreciate it, I think.
Yeah, and then you do walk around like this. Everywhere you go. Just picture. Hey, by the way, this is your new soundtrack. Thank you, motherfuckers. I give sobriety a jingle, a song, a way to live life. This is your new song for life. Every day when you walk out the goddamn door, this is your new life. Look at you juicing. You're juicing. That's right. Look at you. God damn it. Picking people up for work right on schedule. Go fuck yourself. I know what you're doing.
Hey, you remembered your kids' names. Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Hello. I didn't lie about finances in my relationship, and I take ownership. Yeah, you know what? It fucking feels good.
I lost $700 on the game, but I still told my wife the truth.
Oh. Hey, they start getting less and less.
I'm drinking again.
You know what? I'm drinking 7 days a week, but I'm not hitting my head into the wall.
Look at you waking up at noon.
These are people. What are these? These are people that have. They're making too many excuses, right? That's not sobriety, right? That wouldn't be sobriety. Yeah, that would be someone just going, no, I've been sober for 5 months. I drink and smoke now. All right. Can you mimic what I... Does that sound... Can you
wait,
tell if that's
which,
me or...
Wait, which is the trumpet and which is...
Oh, you don't know?
I can't tell.
No, you're being serious?
I'm being serious. My eyes are closed.
Oh, I thought you were joking around.
No, I mean...
Wait, did you just do it?
Oh, let me try... Well, put some reverb in mine too, Aristotle. Don't just give JJ reverb. Okay. Are your eyes shut?
Yeah.
Wah 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 whoop! Wah 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 whoop!
Whoop! Okay, I think it was that one. I think it was the last one.
The last one was who? Me or JJ?
I think it was you. I think you were.
Oh, no,
I think you had the trumpet.
No, he had the trumpet. I was doing it with my mouth. We're trying to see if. Oh, let's do it again. You didn't understand. So one of us is going to. I know you did, but for the bit, it makes it funny that now they have to live through this again in the bit or wherever this is happening. You don't need the details. That's what's great a lot about my bits. Most people aren't worried how we got to now. It's a different thing happening. Sometimes I feel I need to get them there. Well, the bottom line is. That we want to repeat the same thing over and over again, and we're coming up with reasons. I guess when I whisper, that's stupid of me. Like, I don't know. I can't go, I forgot what I was talking about.
Hey.
What were we just talking about?
The cowbell.
Oh, the cowbell? No.
The trumpet.
Oh, what about it?
The fact that you were playing it.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah. I'm sorry to stop doing it. So anyway, wah 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 wah.
Yeah, that's a trumpet.
Oh, did you really think it was the trumpet?
That isn't.
No, that was me.
My eyes are closed. That was you playing a trumpet.
Oh, I'm glad I started this up again. So let's do it again. Let's do the game again. See if you can tell. Are your eyes closed?
They're closed.
Can I, seriously, and I hate to be disrespectful, can I put a duffel bag over your head and then wrap tape around it?
Of course. Okay. Of course.
Jake, anything. Can you go over there and do that? I should hear the remnants of the sound of it happening. Oh, the tape? The tape?
That's tape, and that's...
No, do the tape better than that. If we're going to go off soundboard, and this is the truth. Jake's wanted to go off soundboard. He says he can do most of the sound effects without it. So we'd like to do a little test.
I'm pretty good at telling the difference.
Okay, so can you put some masking tape around his face? I want to hear the masking tape.
That sounds right.
Okay, now seriously, zip, put the duffel bag over it.
Yep. That sounds good.
And close the electric zipper.
No, you
close it. Okay, tell Michael Winslow to get out of here. And because I know he's helping you, because some of those are too professional. I loved it. By the way, let's talk about it later. But, okay, so here we go again. Here we go again. I'll go. I'm not going to tell you who's going first. Honestly, no bullshit.
Eyes are closed.
Go ahead.
That's not a trumpet. That's a mouth.
Dumb is funny. Dumb is funny in comedy.
Yeah. Dumb is dumb.
Okay,
it's back.
Not shush you. Shush to me. Okay, here, hold on. Wah, 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 wah.
100% real trumpet.
See, JJ, you're good. By the way, that was me.
No,
that was me.
No.
Shut up. Let me do it again. Close your eyes. Well, you already have a bucket over your head.
Yeah, I can't see anything.
Okay, fill this. I'm a little afraid that you're peeking. Can I? Take
I'm not
this?
Peeking.
Can
I'm
I do something?
I'm turned around.
Can I
right
do
now.
Something? Can I take this bucket of over that is twice the size of your head? This bucket filled with loose mud and pour it over your face,
please,
and let it stay so that I feel the clay mud will clog up your eyes,
please.
And I know you won't be seeing.
Please.
Okay, Jake, can you put the big bucket of clay over his head?
That's a real bucket.
Mush it around more. Well, we'll mush more than that. Well, I didn't say I was eating lettuce. It was mushy mud. Good. There you
sounds
go.
Like, sounds
there
like
you go.
Mud. Sounds like
there
mud.
You go. Okay, now let me do it again. Tell who it is.
Okay. It's a mouth.
Damn time. You're so positive. You're so sure. With all the kids. It's a mouth. It's like you're almost insulted.
Lackadaisical about it.
Yeah. It's a mouth.
I'm bored.
Again. Okay. Wow, 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 wow. Yippity doo. Yippity doo. Buck, 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 buck. Dippity doo.
Trumpet.
It was me.
No.
I swear to
God. No.
No, to
no. No. That was a trumpet.
If I was like shooting comedies right now, I know exactly in a movie what I'd use you for. But eventually that's what you will do, because you'll find that a good character in a movie is the you sell it so well that you just what is it? It's like a fucking idiot.
It's a moron.
It's a moron. No,
it's a proud idiot.
It's a proud idiot. By the way, to say it's a moron doesn't give it the credit to
no,
it. It's a proud
it's
idiot.
It's a proud idiot.
It's a proud idiot. And he's such what confidence. I like this. He goes, it's a mouth. I almost want him to be right. Like, maybe he is right. He knows so much.
It's the funniest thing to me in comedy. The it just hubris. It's just like Greek.
By the way, Uber's a sponsor, so I want to thank them for picking you up tonight.
Yeah, and I want to thank my driver, Baruz. He was a nice guy.
Was he?
Yeah.
I always give $100. Is that enough? All right, let's do it. Let me take a deep breath, everybody. Good. Here's what I was thinking while I took that deep breath. In San Antonio, there was one guy came with his wife or girlfriend to the show, and then he came back by himself on Sunday, and I talked to you at the bar, and just a nice person, you know? And Jake asked me if I remembered their name, and I don't, but he knows who he is because he listens to the podcast. And he just said, well, you know how I say I won't read the nice emails? We end up reading the mean ones because they're funny. I go, so I don't like to read them, but I will. I don't have to say exactly what somebody said. But I think it's good to say, yes, somebody was really kind, came back on Sunday by himself, talked again, just said some good things, and he seemed really nice. And then the other couple, they drove me to the show. So I had my bag in the back of their car, and they drove me to this karaoke bar that everybody from the club went to. And we were even laughing ourselves. We're like, the joke became, I think, for a little while, like, what if they could murder me or something, you know? I think, or maybe I was thinking that. Oh, shit, I'm sorry, erase this. No, no, we were like, my bag's in their car, and so you sort of go, well, you feel like that must be a trust. You look trustworthy. That's
what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're saying that, and you know what? I've been right 100% of the time. Now, people do get screwed sometimes, but I've been right. I've never had a bad situation. You just look at people, they're like, and that's right. They're exactly who they say they are. You trust them with your bag in your car. You don't worry. And guess what? Of course, that's exactly what happened. At the end of the night, hey, we're getting going. Your bag's in our car. But that's not the way it went tonight. On this very weird night in the middle of San Antonio,
Chris Hardwick
showed up. So listen, I have a lot to get to. I wanted to talk about those two people. I wanted to give him a compliment, and now I feel like I've insulted both. Well, I was afraid they were going to murder me, and the other one...
stole my bag.
Yeah,
so.
the other one, I was worried they were going to... They think that's what he thought, that son of a bitch. Listen, it's the way you were aggressive with me in the lobby. You said, get in the car, asshole. We got some fun to have.
And
listen, okay, let me just get to everything that I gotta get to. What's this?
Have a cup of coffee with a loved one who has passed away.
You have a cup of coffee with someone that passed away. No, it's a nice thing.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
Have a cup of coffee with a loved one.
Right? You just have it's a fake conversation.
With someone who has passed
away? Someone that's passed away. Oh. Someone that died. Jingle Joe doesn't want to say died. It makes him feel bad. He said they're not dead. They just passed away. Like they passed away. What do you mean? They rolled over in the other yard? No, they passed away. They were here and then they passed away. Where'd they pass to? They passed away.
Pastured away.
They it's pastured so funny away. They fell field. And then they rolled into the woods.
It's so funny that if you pass out, you fall asleep, but if you pass away, you're dead. It's so close. They're almost the same.
Right.
You pass out.
You're fine.
You're fine. You're alive.
Pass away.
You pass away, you're fucking
you're
dead.
You're done. So sad when you look at it that way.
Well, there's only one way to look at it, and it's bad.
Well, it's like marriage. It only isn't that the joke about marriage, that it either ends in, it doesn't end good ever. It ends
right.
in divorce
or death. Yeah.
But that's a horrible way to look at it.
Well, yeah, because also you could live forever if they make a special pill.
I think I'm at a good... Can I tell you? I think I'm at a great point in my life. I think...
You're ready.
I hope I'm right, that I'm going to be around for a long time. Like over 125. I'll tell you why.
I actually think all of us will
I'll tell
live
you why.
That long.
Okay, I take pretty good care of myself, right? You know, so I put good things into my... In my body, I try to take... I also smoke pot a little bit, a lot. And then, I mean, I smoke it...
You know what's crazy, Todd? I know that you smoke weed a lot.
But
there's no way that you are the person that smokes the most weed out of everyone.
Well, that's,
isn't that crazy?
Okay. Here's what... I thought you were going to say something different, but... When I say I don't smoke a lot, I guess I am saying... Because that's why sometimes audiences will laugh, because you forget... I'm judging against the comedic community, and in the comedic community, you know, some smoke 7 days a week, day and night.
Sure,
obviously,
yeah.
Different severities of it, and I think there's some people would agree that if you were going to call it a potaholic, the same as an alcoholic, we would be there's you know
yeah.
And there's other people that you go they smoke, you know, but they don't seem like they have a problem. But
yeah.
They smoke 7 days a week, but they're okay. So that's what I'm comparing it to. So when I say I smoke,
that's what I'm saying. I smoke
4 nights a week, I really do think it's 4 nights a week. It just means 3 nights. I've said this before, but I'm repeating it to you. By the way, I went a period where I was smoking 7 nights a week, and I just realized I wasn't enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say cold turkey. I was able to go okay, and that was like almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now I 3 nights a week, 4 nights a week, and I love it. So I don't – to me, to smoke 4 nights a week, it's for me, comparative to my friends, yes, that's not a lot. I don't know. Maybe to other people, 4 nights a week, that's a lot. I don't know. What do you think? Like, not in middle America, like every. I think when I say middle America, I don't mean that there's either here in L.A. amongst comedians or the heart of the most bland neighborhood in Irvine. I mean just middle America, meaning living in. Do you think four nights a week is a lot for like?
No,
like
I don't think so. I don't think four nights is a lot because.
Well,
I,
you're wrong, asshole. No.
No, I think people smoke a lot of weed. I really do.
That own bike shops and work in stores and
especially.
And people that are fix airplanes. I list every job. I don't want to offend
doctors,
anybody.
Strippers, presidents.
People that are stripping
mothers.
And making money, mother strippers. There's different. Here's the way that you list all the reasonable jobs people have. I'm the dumb guy. I have no idea what. I just am so out of touch. No, I mean people with regular jobs out there. What does the world do? Not in the comedy world. You know, strippers.
You know, doctors.
Yes. I mean, what do the – okay, we're in this world of comedy, but what about people out there? There's prostitutes.
Janitors.
I mean, we live in – like, it's a comedic community. I get it. But you have to remember, there's regular people. There's people out there. They steal – there's all types
teachers.
Of people. I mean, you got to remember, there's just people like there's people out there that sell their body or take blood transfusions for money. There's
vice principals.
There's everybody listens to the show. They're
dental
not all,
hygienists.
There's not all comics. You have to remember, there's people that are having sex against
five-star chefs.
You know, gay for pay. There's people out there. We have people
meter
in the
maids,
audience that I'm sure that do that.
Cops,
you got to remember,
mechanics,
okay,
sheriffs,
not everybody's a comic. What is the world doing? The people,
gardeners.
People that listen to your show, what do? You got to remember.
Car salesmen.
Like I said, there's strippers. There's more strippers. There's different jobs that people have. There's jobs like, okay.
Blackjack dealers.
And of course, the selling your body for money again.
Accountants.
Chiropractors.
That was a good bit. Wish we had an end for it.
Drug dealers.
Oh, you're going. That's right, America. We're the bailouts. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, following Marc Maron, and we're bailing out, baby. We're
see
bailing
ya.
Out, baby.
Bye,
Berber. You want to call people,
Berber?
It's funnier than you would think.
What?
Calling people on the podcast.
Calling someone?
Yeah, let's call people.
Who should we call?
I think it's fun. Well, we have to have fun. I know what people want. That's the thing. I do. I always know what people want.
Come on, the Sloop John B. My grandfather.
Is this the same guy that sang Delilah?
Yeah, you like it?
Yeah, I really do. And I actually do. I actually do.
Drinking all night.
This song is so good you can't fuck it up. No, I'm not even joking. This song is so good.
Well, I feel so broke up. I wanna go home.
It's such a good song. It's so good.
Hoist up the John B. Sail.
You know it.
See how the mainsail sets. Cough all the captain ashore and let me go home. Let me go home.
It's so good.
I wanna go.
You know what? I like this guy now.
Yeah.
This is great.
He's having a good time.
He's having a good time.
And he carries it. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, this is
he's
great.
He's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Did it. First mate, he got drunk.
This is great.
Can you pause it?
Broken.
Can I tell you the truth? I'm going to bare my soul now.
Is that about the boat, the sloop?
The sloop is a little boat.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Your mother told me about
you. Sloop.
Your mom's a sloop. You know what? Go fuck yourself, Jake. Your mom's a sloop, and you know it.
Hey, I know my mom.
Yeah.
And your mom's definitely a bigger sloop.
Your mom's a sloop, and I've seen pictures of your mom. Oh,
well, pictures,
God,
okay, in pictures, obviously my mom's a bigger sloop. But if you know, if you actually know our
fuck
mom.
That shit. Your mom's a sloop, and you fucking know it, and you have the nerve to tell me my mom's a sloop.
Anybody that would look at my mom is a sloop.
Would look at your mom would know that she's a sloop.
Oh, wow.
Wait, how'd this start?
I don't know. Sloop John B. was playing.
Sloop? No, we're not crazy. Did something?
Oh, that's the name of this song, Sloop John.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my sanity that I'm defending that I'm only doing a dumb thing because that reminded me of it. Oh, if I didn't just do this out of nowhere, that word was said. Then I went off to a sloop dissertation. That explains my normalcy.
By the way,
sloop, 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 because I heard it a second ago. Sloopity, sloopity, sloopity. It's not all a joke.
By the way, your mom still does your mom jokes.
Well, you know what? You're right. Well, I talked to her about it. She won't listen. That's what you do in those
she
situations.
Won't listen.
If you get roasted and you just play the... Say things about me.
Same thing. Ty Glass, he couldn't tie his shoes to save his life.
It's embarrassing.
Todd Glass still wears shirts with pockets in them.
I have horrible fashion, and you know what? My significant other yells at me about it.
It's so shitty to do that.
And no, he goes up at the end. And you know, Don Rickles, you said I was a bucket of fried beluga. And you know, you're right, Don. No, seriously, because I've always thought about myself as being a big... He called someone a bucket. Go back to Tennessee and have a bucket of beluga. That's fucking great shit.
Are we going to do the...
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you for being here.
Oh, you know.
We're going to go in for the close, and that takes a little while. Oh, so here's what I was going to bare my soul, and then we'll do that.
Okay.
So when I listened to this guy sing on the internet, I thought he's having a good time. Like, I wish I could sing bad like he can sing. And that means he's not great, but guess what? He's having a good time.
He's unabashedly doing it.
I could sing like that, because guess what? There is something calming about it. So I thought, well, I wouldn't really play it on the show if it really was bad, because then that would be annoying to listen to. I wouldn't play anything unless I thought it was soothing, even in an odd way, that he's not a great singer, but yet I like to listen to this guy sing. There, I admitted it. All because you're here. I got more honest, even over the stupidest, silliest thing like that. That makes sense. I know what I'm talking about. You were like, instead of just going, ah, ha, ha, you went, I'm enjoying it.
Well,
so was I.
It was funny because I was doing it, but it was exactly like the bit from earlier. I was like, oh, I love this.
But you were being serious.
But I was being genuine that time.
I know.
Yeah.
I get it. That's how I started doing it. I thought you were going to redo the same bit. And then I realized when you started to get more analytical about it, I don't know. Oh, no, what he's saying is making sense.
But that's the thing. Is like, that's why I can sell the other thing, too, because it's like, oh, yeah, I love this. This is great.
What do you think? You smack the kids around, right, when they don't listen? Come on, let's get the fucking serious.
You should be able to do whatever you want to kids.
I want on the right side. Hey, can I be honest? I want to be on the right side of history. Can we re-edit that in? I want to do this for real, and I swear to God, I really want to do this.
What? What do you want to do?
No, I'm being totally serious.
Okay.
I want to redo the bit about the way I feel about hitting kids, because I think I might be wrong.
Really? You want to change
it? Yes. Can we just have a quick conversation about it? Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
If somebody – I heard someone say this. We've talked about it on the show. 20 years from now, I just don't want to look like a fucking idiot. So I want to lay down just – in case we're wrong, I want to sound smart. And I think this – you know. So let's just recut it in there. Is that cool?
Yeah.
That's the conversation.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that.
And Aristotle, you'll just on this show, there's some record of us not being idiots.
Right, right.
Because we are so much the other way. Just in case, I just want someone to go, there's that one show where Todd, and throw it out. No one will ever hear it. This show will exist. Here we go. Well, you know, I always talk about the, you know, I'm so passionate about not hitting.
Right.
But of course, there's times when I go, what if I'm fucking wrong?
Sure. Yeah. Well, like what? Like,
I mean, you know, there's a lot of studying being done, and maybe, you know, letting go of spanking altogether just could be bad.
Really bad?
Yes. I mean, you got to, you know, I understand. I got to listen. I don't close it off when people say, I know there's a lot of people out there. Someone says any spanking at all is wrong.
Right.
I don't write that. I go, maybe you have to hit a little.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, maybe you go too far and you got to hit kids to teach them.
Yeah.
Right? It makes sense, doesn't it? Like, to not hit at all sounds weird.
Yeah, to me, when you just said it, I thought, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Be like, realistic.
I mean, it sounds like you have to.
What's your favorite type of potato chip? I know when to get an interview going.
Lay's.
Ah, there you go. What's your favorite type of sweet snack?
Cookie.
What type of cookie? Come on, let's go.
Big cookie.
Big cookie. Come on. This is the way I got to do it. I got to run a tight ship here. I got to find out a lot of things about you. I don't have a lot of time. I'm a good interviewer. That's right, everybody. Fuck you. This is the way. Todd Glass knows. What? Well, people are listening. I know what I'm doing.
That's funny, though.
Do you have a family? Do you have a sister?
Yes,
no, seriously. Come on.
Yes, I mean,
come on.
Sister,
let's get
Allison.
It out of the way. What's her name? Allison? What does she do?
She's a teacher.
I'll slow down if it's interesting. Okay, she's a teacher. Where does she teach?
Athens, Georgia.
It doesn't matter. She's a teacher. Do you ever go watch
school.
Her teach?
She does it at a school.
Okay. Did you ever go watch her teach?
No.
You
what?
Should. You should.
Who does that?
Did you ever go sit in? I sat in. My brother teaches. I sat in the back of the room and watched him.
Well, that's weird that your brother was a teacher.
No, you should do it. Your sister would love if you did it.
Oh, you go
in. Yes, come on.
Her.
I don't have time to really get into this, but if your sister would love it, you watch
you
them work.
You can do that.
You can do that. You should do it.
You shouldn't be able to go to a school if you're not a
teacher.
Listen,
she'll never listen.
Why not? This doesn't make sense.
Please, listen. She'll never. She'll
Wait, you're telling her adults can just go hang out at school?
I don't have time.
Telling me that I can just go hang out and watch someone teach?
Listen. Okay, let's stop the bit.
Depends on
seriously. Seriously, yes. So what you do. Well, I went.
Also, though, no, wait,
Tom. I shouldn't have stopped the bit.
You are a good interviewer.
No, I think it is good to stop. No, that's what I like. Talking about, like, he's the most cutting edge interviewer. And you're like, what's your favorite tasty sweet treat? Like, he's the most hard hitting.
He's the most. He's the most.
He's the most.
He's the hard hitting Todd Glass. He'll ask questions and he doesn't give a shit.
What's your favorite type of candy?
Todd Glass. He'll be right in their face.
You like flowers?
What's your favorite color, sir?
He doesn't give a shit what he asks. He asks the real questions.
What's your mother like?
She's nice. She's a nice lady.
In your face.
All right, listen. I have so much to do. Here's what I want to do. We don't have time to call people. Sorry. No. That's what happens when you do what we just did.
You heard it here on the Todd Glass Show. If you don't want to hit your kids, you have to kill your dog.
Service dogs. That's going to be my new thing. People are going to want to kill me. Operator. Seriously. Come on. I actually, that's a little much for me now. That reminds me of when I lost my virginity. It's a long story. Ah! All right, shut that off.
Long story, you fucked a cow.
No, that is, it's really too much for me. It is too, it's too George Carlin. Okay. It's not, by the way, this comes from someone that told him, play that until I fuck. I literally told him on this, to George Carlin, I go, play the fuck out of that cowbell. I'm not shitting around, like, Family Guy, the fuck out of that cowbell. And then it cuts to me literally hitting his hand off the soundboard. Why don't you let me just turn that off right there? But you know what? Can I tell you, I give you an A+ for, you committed. You committed. Take the left. Play Krusty the Clown. That's right. I'm aware. Play it. I heard it come out of my mouth, and then play this. Okay. Go back. You can play the other one. Make a remix. I'm fine with it. Fuck, that was real, son of a motherfucker. God damn it, you won't get me again, so don't even try. You won't. And I won't fake it, even if you think, if you play it, I won't fake it.
Okay.
I won't. I'm ready. I'm on. I'm ready. Let me tell you something. If you're going to do it now, forget about it. I'm on high alert. I'm on high alert every second. Alert, alert, alert. Will not fall for it. Will not have the laughter. Will not just burst out of me because, no. Be who, hold back on the laughter. 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 I'm controlling myself. I will not laugh like that because that laughter is like, and that's not me. I'm in control of myself. Things make me laugh. I don't blurt out like a clown. I'm too aware of it.
Okay.
And you can wait it out, but I'm not going to do it. I know you're going to sit over there thinking, he'll forget. Do it now. Get it out of your skin. Get it, whatever they say, get out of.
Get it out of your skin.
Get it out of your.
Out of your veins.
Get out of yourself.
Get out of here.
Get it out of here. They say get it out. Who say get out of here?
Hey, get out of. Get out.
Hey,
of,
you get out of here.
Hey, forget about
two
it.
Two dumb guys in a sketch group, but they really start getting into a fight. No, I'm in the sketch too.
Well, let's be a dumb guy, and they both forget that in the sketch they're saying that they're like. I don't know. This bit made sense. I thought. No, seriously. Hold on. I'll replay.
Okay.
In the bit, one guy says, get out of here.
Get out of here.
The other one forgets his line is to say,
he's just
no, you
get
out
of here.
Yeah, he forgets, so here's what happens.
Oh, thanks for coming to
the
dinner.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, get out of here.
Oh, fuck you. I'm in the troop too, you know.
No.
Nah, why? I can't believe you. I'm not going to get out of here. I got a fucking sketch to do.
No, you got to get out of
here. Nah, you fucking get out of here.
Todd, get out of here.
Fuck you. I'm in the group too.
Todd.
I'm not going to get out in the middle of a show. Is there something funny there? If not, I take full responsibility for throwing shit
my
at
fault.
You.
No,
it's not your fault. It's not your fault. If you think it's your fault, then I'll never be able to live with myself. I need you to let go of that responsibility. This must be a comfortable atmosphere for everybody.
We're going to lose the house. Does that seem too obvious? The worst. He has to match.
What if it's like, yeah, we lost the house, but they literally just couldn't find it?
Yeah, your parents lost your house. They lost their house.
I don't know where we moved. Was it in Florida or Texas?
Everybody else,
they just don't know where they moved.
They're talking to people at a tornado that lost their house from tornadoes, but they don't know. They're just we lost our house too. We thought, wait, I thought I had a summer home in Florida. I was
the
like,
other
what?
Family's just really wealthy.
Yeah. So they just have forget where their houses are. Oh we lost the house
we
of
have,
ours.
No, we have seven houses.
I always forget them.
Okay.
You know what I always, Rodney, Rory. Oh, we played that. Oh, these are my notes from the opening. Whoops. Almost made a real blunder in the radio business. The audience wouldn't be forgiving me for that. Wow. This is a responsibility I have. This character is tired. That's how I get out of my characters. So let's do this Rickles thing. But this is something we have to let breathe. And then
okay.
Because that to celebrate, to take it home today, the show that Corey did, what was the name of the band? Do you remember?
Dixie Giants, I think.
Let me tell you something. Find out. If we're wrong, it doesn't matter because I'll
think
say,
that is it.
I'll say Dixie it in the Giants. Opening. So every time we say it, even if it's wrong, they'll know who we mean every time.
Right? Yeah.
Because if I'm saying it wrong now, I'll fix it in the opening. But I don't want to prevent me from saying giving them a good plug. If this podcast, and you hear it, and you can get them to whatever you're doing, it's amazing.
I think they're supposed to come to L.A. sometime. Like
they're doing
New
something
Year's?
At New Year's Eve. That's right. They're doing a show at New Year's Eve at...
Sassafras.
Right? Yeah, they're doing something there New Year's Eve. And let me tell you something. Go. Because
I
your night
I'm
will be
go.
Special. Your night will be fucking special. You will walk into something that is too good to be true. And or if they – if I'm sure those guys are available seriously for private situations.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. I will have them at my house. There's no way. To have that shoot into your yard and there's no plugged – nothing plugged in. The cleanliness of it, that much – energy can come into your yard and there's nothing to plug in. It's clean. It's easy. It's simple. And this, yeah, find out what it is and budget it in because it's worth it. They will come in. It's not that they just play the instruments. They're tight. They fucking know what they're doing. They, like we said, they all went down on the floor. Of course the audience went down on the floor. They've done this before, motherfucker. The only way that could be said. So I wanted to end the show with that. And JJ being here can sort of come around us, give us a little bit of the live trumpet, and just enjoy the song. But I think this is a great way, the calm before the storm. So I heard a Don Rickles clip, and is everybody good? And did we talk about your show?
I'm good. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we're all good.
Talk about it more. Because you know what? There's someone right now on the fence. And listen.
I'm telling you, it's fun. It's me, my buddy Eric DeDorian. We have a great
How's
great
Eric
energy.
DeDorian doing?
He's good. He's doing very well. He's good. He's a funny guy.
Eric DeDorian.
We run a show, whatever, $5.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I thought I'd give you the time to say it, and then it's you, whatever. You throw it out like that? Nah, don't. I'm sorry.
No, it's whatever. It's just whatever.
It's just whatever to me, man. Too. Is that who you are? It's just whatever, man.
Todd, you know I'm not that guy.
No, but right, I. See, we'll edit this.
Todd,
out. I'll edit
Todd,
this out.
It's just whatever, man.
Well, it's upsetting me. So it's not whatever. It's like there's a sense of that I give you a chance to plug your show, and then you go, it's just whatever, dude. If you were on The Tonight Show with David Letterman and he started plugging something for you, would you just go, oh, whatever, dude?
Todd, it's Friday.
What's the name of the show? Just say it. I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the bigger man. And maybe even I'm not being the bigger man. Maybe we're going to discuss this later. Maybe we'll go in front of a counselor. And decide, because I'm sure I hear it from my perspective. I've been told in my family a lot I don't listen. So maybe I'm just looking at it from a whack perspective, too. Maybe we can just agree that something happened. We rattled each other. We don't know why, but I'd rather figure it out with a third party so we can be friends.
Sure.
So in the meantime, forget about everything. And what was the name of your show again?
Whatever.
You know what? You're not trying.
Todd.
No, you're not trying.
Todd, it's whatever.
No, it's not. You're getting me more upset when you say it like that.
Todd.
Just say the show. Okay, again.
Whatever.
I'm going to, again. Todd, please go inward for my strength. Please do not judge him. Please, he does not understand. You have to say that you will meet again. And you will talk this through, but it's not going to work. He just thinks he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He's being aloof. So just ask him the name of the show again and let him have his plug. You'll be the bigger man. Let him plug his show, Todd. Go inward. Please take those words. Please take those words. And let me apply them to my real life, as hard as it may be. So
the show is whatever.
Fuck you! Fuck you, you pile of shit!
Todd.
No, you come on my show, you show me disrespect.
Todd, it's whatever.
Oh, well, you seriously, you're going to make me have a heart attack.
Todd, wait, no. Todd.
What?
No, the show. Todd, don't you understand? The show's name. Todd, the show's name is the word whatever.
Oh, good luck.
Alan Strip.
Motherfucker, fuck everybody. You son of a fucking bitch. I did it first, but yet I guess I did it. Ah, fuck. No, not fuck. People in San Antonio, they told me. People do say it. Just understand one thing. Whenever I say I hate that laugh, you know what? No, I don't. I also love it. The fact that that's what happens when just something makes me laugh hard, a cackle comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, at moments of the stupid built-in insecurity, at moments I hear it. But guess what? No, overall, because some people, they do say that, and I know they're being genuine. They're like, no, don't hate your laugh, and you're right. Because you know what? Here I go. Don't make me go off on a tangent. I mean, when these guys want to hear a lecture from me, but I also, even when I did... You know what? You don't have to play that music, but it's very nice. I guess you feel like what I'm saying, it deserves it. But I just feel like it's just me talking to Alan Strickland Williams. But when I... By the way, I'm being honest in what I'm saying, but ironic the way I'm playing it with the music. But when people laugh in the audience, if I don't think they're trying to get attention, which is very rare, once in a while that happens. You get someone, they've figured out their laugh.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. But I'm talking about when someone genuinely, you can tell they're enjoying it, and they have a weird laugh, and never make fun of it. Because you're waiting, when someone's laughing, they're at their most naked they could be.
Sure.
You're on stage, you go, what about that laugh? Oh, yeah, punch them while they're naked, you dumb comic.
Exactly.
Punch it. Now, again, we're excluding that if someone's trying to do it, get attention. But when you just think someone is just, if even if you had to guess, you'd be like, no, they were really having a good time, but you needed that laugh that bad. Hey, she laughs like a duck.
Do you ever comment on it at all?
I do, because sometimes it is, and I'm being just sincere.
You're saying the other side of it that I know exists.
I'm saying that it's like, sometimes it's like, oh, that's distracting. That's like literally throwing me off. Like you doing that is throwing me off. But then it is like, but I get it because I've learned to restrain myself. I don't point it out really because it is like.
But you are right.
No, you're right. That's a nice thing to do, to laugh in a very goofy way.
But we did exclude because it's all. You know what? You can't ever say anything without having a preface. I know why preface, because if you don't. A little bit of misinformation can really make someone not know that you know the other side of it.
Well, it seems that you didn't think about it.
No.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in general, that's the way. Like, if you don't preface something with the right thing.
It looks like you didn't.
It looks like you didn't consider the other side. It's like, no, I thought about that. This is just where I am.
And we're talking about.
Is the other side saying, like, oh, that laugh is awesome?
Oh. So what I'm saying about the thought about it, the person that laughs, isn't that what we're talking about?
We're talking about like someone having kind of a weird laugh at a comedy show, I think, right?
Yeah, the reason I don't make fun of them is, I think that, that's what I knew where I was going. So I was saying, I don't mind saying that if there's, you have to acknowledge because there's been a comedian, maybe a comedian that listens to the show that had someone one night that was specifically... You're making an educated guess because why would you want to call someone out on this unless it was you're pretty fucking sure of it? They're laughing and they figured out it gets a laugh and now you want them to stop it.
Right.
So now you could look a little mean saying, just stop having a good – that happens. I'm not judging that comic that has to say. But I'm saying in the event that they're really just having a good time and they're not disrupting the show, it almost goes 10 minutes will pass by and then something you say, they'll just fucking strike them the right way and they do it again. That person, no, them I don't want to go, hey, what are you, a hyena?
Right.
Hey, take your pants down. Feel the most vulnerable. And then I'm going to kick you in your nuts because you were enjoying what I was doing so much that it made you cackle. Let me come in there and fucking put my fangs out and bite into you and suck the soul out of you because something I said made you have a real good time.
But
you
what know, about...
And then I'm going to make...
But isn't it all in like the tone of how you do it? Like isn't it all like the tone of how you do it? Like... Because making fun of someone like that is awful. I would never do that. But also the thing is that it's like if you're thinking the laugh sounds weird, probably everyone else in the club or the show thinks that person sounds weird. And sometimes you just got to like adjust things that are kind of weird.
I thought about it. Okay. By the way, this is not me being a saint. There's a video online me calling a girl a whore. So, but you know what? I wish I wouldn't have said that. I handled that perfectly. I own everything I did on that video, and I know it sounds weird, but you got to remember how many levels of how many words could have come out of my mouth.
Wait, what happened? What happened?
Just a video in where was it at? I'm forgetting now. In
the heckler video?
Yeah, the heckler video.
Yeah,
heckler in Davis, California. Heckler in Davis. Somebody before a show, something happened. I shushed someone. They gave me the finger, and I remember thinking, "Oh, they gave me the finger, thinking I was a manager of the club. They didn't know I was a comic."
Oh, really?
I thought, "Wow!" And I'm not bullshitting. It made me think, "Wow, you just gave someone the finger that can't give it back. Wow, that's a bully," because that's just mean to give it, and you know that the waiter or somebody can't give it back to you. By the way, I wouldn't give someone the finger back even if I could, but there's a big difference that you just did that.
Well, I would. I definitely would.
You just gave the finger. You would do what?
I would definitely give. I give the finger when I drive.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it's so childish and stupid.
Yeah, right. So you try to, but especially, I would never give someone the finger that – I wouldn't give it anyway, but I'm saying it's just a never – I think it's another level.
I wouldn't do it in
of,
that situation, yeah. though.
Would you ever give your waitress the finger?
No, never.
Can you that's the way you look at it. Before you get too complicated with it, can you just –
Another driver,
you would
yes,
never
– but
let me
never,
ask you a question. Never.
Someone on my same level, yes, but not someone
– I feel like there's something just comedically old school about giving somebody the finger.
Well, it is so ridiculous.
But we're – yeah, it is. Exactly. You're right. That's the bigger
so
issue.
Weird.
But let's take it outside of in cars, because some reasonable people at a certain
I
point –
I lose my mind in a
yeah,
car.
Yeah, people have done things.
I have no idea what I'm doing in
but
a
not
car.
Anymore, by the way. I will say at one point you have to take ownership. I am proud to say, yes, I would never – you will never give someone the finger in the car, ever. But when I was younger,
oh, man,
I'll
get there.
But I used to also hit my dog a little too hard on the ass. I got to say it. Anyway, I'm going to start admitting that because it's
if you don't want to – if you don't –
No, one dog. I said – didn't I talk about it on the podcast? I have to admit, Pat, and I felt bad even though – but that just from that, I get how hard it is to admit it with your kids because you have to admit any level. With me, it's hard with a dog. Yeah, I hit her too hard on her ass.
You shouldn't –
I would like fucking –
You shouldn't
then,
hit your dog. You should take your dog to the street where a child has been killed and teach it not to go in the street.
So instead of running it over, just spank your dog.
Oh. All right, listen. I think we have to hold on. Listen, let this play. What I'm going to be, I want everyone to be honest here. This would be a great moment on the show of truth that you can feel comfortable enough on the air to not just say yes. How many people say we play the Rickles clip? How many people say we just save it for next week? I'm not going to tell you what I write, but I will write it down. Anyone have a pen? Does anyone
have a pen? I don't work here. I don't know.
Right. I'm going to just... But what is the vote? What are we going to do? What time is it?
10:16. And I used to have
here's
a
what,
pen.
Here's what we
but
did.
But then I let you borrow it.
You did. We play Rickles next week. Now we got something to look forward to. Look at us. Look at us hanging out every week together.
Hey, I got it. Wait, can we... After the show's over, can you just play the Rickles clip for me?
Yes.
Then I'm in.
You know what?
Then I'll do whatever. And I'll give you $3,000
wait,
for it.
Then I'd... You son of a fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ. Talk about bringing it home. Well, guess what, then? I'm going to be honest. I want to play the Rickles clip. Well, since you want to play it off the air, why not do it on the air? It's going to take the same amount of time, and I do that, and then we're going to go out of here. JJ, you're all right to play this clip, and then we'll take it home? So let's fade in that Rickles clip. I think it's worth breathing. I really do. Oh, yes, a little Don Rickles, everybody.
Wait, that's not it.
It's not? It's all right. Don't worry about it. There's the problem at the board. Ladies and gentlemen, back.
I think it was,
Hey, good to be back. My next guest is a quite a fucking rock star.
I think it was writer Pat McCormick who did this line once. A lot of guys have appropriated the line in reference to Don Rickles. He said he called Don Rickles once, but Rickles was busy. He was out walking his rat. I don't know where it came from, but would you welcome Mr. Warmth, Don Rickles.
Buddy Hackett is on the panel, but Burt Reynolds is sitting right next to him. Pause it for 1 second. Burt Reynolds is sitting right next to Don Rickles once he sits on the couch. And let me tell you something. It says something about him. Whatever happened later in life or, you know, he must have a good sense of humor because he cackles when Rickles makes fun of him. Like the way I feel. Like you're going to know no one's.
What's that music?
To me, he's really enjoying
what's
it.
What's that music he comes out? It's like the
Matador.
The Matador, yeah. Oh, my God. He's the only comedian that has like a soundtrack theme. Like, oh, it's so great.
Let me tell you something. The progression of watching him turn into sort of comedy royalty was amazing. Like the orchestra got big and then his bow got bigger.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, he walks right to the – he doesn't stop and turn and address the crowd and bend over. He just walks out to the panel with the music playing. Bum, bum, bum.
Is this one of the first ones?
When he starts
like throwing his hands up.
You look like a little kid that's scared. No. You're like, is this the first one?
No, I meant like the first ones that he ever was on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant what did I think?
Am I supposed to be doing the first one?
Right. Exactly. God damn it, I can't believe you followed that. And that's not the way you're doing it. Yes, this is like I would say they explain it. That he's been it was his 11th year anniversary
of being on the show.
Yeah, he's been on
the Tonight Show.
Yeah, the Tonight Show's on for 11 years.
Oh, this is the 11th year of the Tonight Show.
Yeah, so Rickles in it mentions that he's working at the.
So this is like 74.
I don't know,
something like that.
It always looks old. Hey, 10 years ago you start looking at it, it's crazy. 10 years ago you look at footage, you're like, whoa, what year is it? 10 years usually.
Would that be 2004? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was still big. Yeah. That was still like big screen TVs.
And especially 15 years ago. Then it looks, you know, the old sets. But, you know, so technology.
Carson was 1800s. Stuff in the 90s looks like it's from the 70s now.
Exactly.
This is BC?
Who are you? What are you? I mean.
It's NBC.
NBC. NBC.
NBC, baby.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Bobby the Water Drinker. Hey, I have to keep myself refreshed, you know? Mm-hmm.
Hydrated. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
You get out of here.
Okay, listen. So, Rickles, let's play it. Let it breathe. And then we're going to end with some great in tribute to the band. I gave them high praise.
Dixie
you know
Giants,
what? They deserved it. Yeah. Every stinking one of you guys.
And the band was
wonderful.
Green Day.
What was the name of the band again?
The band was Led.
No,
Stone.
Say the real one.
Dixie Giants. I think it was the Dixie Giants.
Do you know why I don't mind saying it over and over again? Because I'm going to find out if I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I'll make it up in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And guess what that means? It means a song.
I'm almost positive it's the Dixie Giants. Almost positive. Well, not 100%.
All right. Well, we'll know. In the beginning, we're going to know. Then they'll hear it on the
You know what? $3,000 I'm right. Even if I'm wrong, you get the money.
thank you. Two dumb guys. Anyway, we should start a realty company called Two Dumb Guys with Kids That Need Food. I think people would do it. They'd admire it. It's a realty company, two dumb guys with kids that need food. Like, well, they're dumb. At least they admit it. But they're saying, like,
and I guess they need help, and they're
husband
dumb,
and wife,
so
maybe
they need more help than the regular people.
Yeah, maybe you have a husband and wife. It goes, we're a husband and wife, a dumb realty team, but we have kids.
So please help us, help you.
And we don't overspend.
Her.
We have compromising cars, but we're dumb. Please use our realty. Hey, would you like your yard cleaned up by two idiots? You'd give half their money to charity?
I think it's a good house.
Get up. Over there.
Should we play Rickles?
Yeah, play Rickles. I feel like that. This is a treat. We should treat it like this.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to it like there's a chandelier.
Ole.
Ole.
John, you know, these kind of nights, as Bert has said, and Buddy has said, and Ed talked to you briefly, with accolades of, you know, like 11 years, and it makes my starting on the Tonight Show with you.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's back there saying, gee, you got to do good, and you got to wish Johnny luck, and what have you, you know, which we all do, you know. But I, observing in the back, say from the bottom of my heart, Johnny, you're a very wealthy man.
Remember what happened last time you said that?
I know that, but yes. I don't mean it in that sense. The good Lord has blessed you and your family and your lovely wife. And your... Thank you so much, Bert. Bert is lonely. But, you know, it's a very difficult thing when Bert Reynolds, who's a very glib guy, a Buddy Hackett, one of our great comedy minds, and Ed McMahon, who's at the end of the couch, annoying, annoying Buddy now, saying, can't you use me in Vegas?
Ed McMahon is at the end of the couch being annoying.
Ed knows and I know, Johnny. You don't have a friend. You have me, John, because I still feel you're hot in the business. My career has come a long way. I am 47 years of age. You're 48, I believe.
No, I'm 47.
You're 47. We're the same age. Wonderful. So when the good Lord, when we were both born and we came from our mothers, God looked down and said, make him rich and make him struggle. And it turned out that way. I'll be off in a minute, Bert, and then you can show this outfit. I like Bert. You know, the first time when you were away, don't you like me?
Pause it. Jesus Christ, I'm so glad we watched this.
That's what Bert's doing on the show, is just showing off his outfit.
He just turns him. Of course he has an outrageous outfit. He goes, Bert, when we're done, you can show off your outfit.
In one of the last Carsons, it was Clint Eastwood and Dave Letterman. It's like the last few months, and Clint Eastwood was wearing like a polo shirt and a blazer, and at one point Letterman, who was the second guest, just turns to Clint and goes, geez, Clint, would it kill you to wear a tie? It's just like, why are you attacking Clint?
But that's what's so great about it. Would it kill you to wear a tie?
Like John Rickles, David Letterman attacking Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds. It's just so funny. Yeah, show off his outfit.
I mean, this is, you know.
I love this type of comedy.
It's still great, and because it's... I mean, that's why he's Don Rickles.
How did we not find these before?
I don't know. You know, sometimes you get new ones and you're like, I never heard these. These are like four or five of his shows. So like, we're just going to play one. There's 11 of them on here. But we don't have to play all 11. Excuse me, I just vomited. Well, I do. I'm a professional. No, you have to keep your good quality of your voice. Hey, Nick, thanks. Thanks a lot. No, seriously. Sometimes I say, you know what, when I look out and just see cars and not someone yawning like a lion that's about to have his mouth dislocated because his jaw broke from his yawn that literally
a wildebeest.
Yeah, just ate a wildebeest and then has dislocated his jaw. With that mouth couldn't have been any... His hair was touching the ceiling and his jaw was touching the floor. And his mouth was like stretched out like a fucking baboon. And by the way, baboons are happy. You know why? And I'm being very serious. In a silly way, I'm being serious. They go like this. Everybody wants to do that. I don't not do that because it doesn't feel good. It's just as a civil human being.
What?
No, it's. I know what I'm saying. It's like... That's fun. You do that when you're little because it's fun. And then you get older, your mom goes, but... she goes, no, don't do that. But you never stop doing it because you don't want to. Look, hold on, really do it. I know it's going to seem silly, but all I'm asking is one thing. Really sit there and do it. You know, make the face you want. No, have fun with your lips, seriously, because that's the feeling. And when you really get a good one, you'll know. Watch. Okay, that didn't feel good a little? Yeah, that didn't feel good? Seriously, this is how we all get put in a mental institution. Seriously, what if we got put in a mental institution and then they showed this footage to the judge? They're sick. This is their... Your Honor, my client has a podcast. Yeah, well, listen, Your Honor, I play the podcast for this jury to decide that these people should be put away, and this is what they play. This is not a podcast. Well, that was good. And JJ, take it home. Listen, play Rickles. Play more Rickles. Sorry, we got a little carried away. Couldn't do that on a show.
Honestly?
Yes.
No.
I see.
No, I adore you.
I know that.
You gave me an opportunity. You even had me. He had a little party the other night, I must say. In fairness to Buddy and Ed and Bert, he had a party... for your anniversary.
Well, it wasn't really. It was just happened to fall on the same day.
No, you were married a year to Joanna.
That's right.
Correct. Your lovely wife, who's not here tonight, unfortunately, she's in New York with her organ and monkey. Oh, don't go, oh. He's the first one that laughs. You should see his wife. She said to me tonight on the phone, when is Johnny coming home? No, that's a joke.
Of course it is.
His mother's in Nebraska going... Again, we struck out, Papa. But,
She's a lovely lady.
Johnny had a little party, Bert, and Buddy at Chasen's. I can't say that.
Buddy was invited and couldn't be there, and Bert wasn't in town.
I couldn't make it.
You weren't invited? No, you were at the Dinah Shore cooking show. Now, he goes out with Dinah Shore. Well,
I know you know that. Well, I read. Why are you talking to me like I don't know?
Because you annoy me. That's it. But, Bert, were you invited truthfully, Bert?
No, he wasn't in town.
He was not invited. Now, don't make a big thing. You said to me, why invite a cowboy dumbbell to wear my party? Said this guy with a two-fisted karate baloney at the party. We don't need that. We're all lovers. And you dance.
Pause. This is... So the whole comedy, why it's beautiful, he insinuates that off record, you called me and you said, why would I invite a dumbbell cowboy? That's the joke. Why would I invite a dumbbell? I remember you said it clearly. Why would I invite a dumbbell cowboy? And that's who Burt Reynolds is. Okay, maybe I overthought about it.
I love the things that he says to let him go deeper in the joke. Like when he thinks the audience is getting offended, he'll say, no, Johnny's the first one.
No, sure. Yeah. Johnny's the first one to admit. Yeah. Sure, I'm not being rude. And then the audience, maybe, I bet subconsciously it works. No, Johnny knows. He's the first one to call me in the morning and say, I'm sad. Anyway, he sits at home with a and a ring. Okay, play it.
Inside, for God's sakes, as Jack Benny would say. And Jack was at the party.
Yes, he was.
All the biggies, Freddie DeCorvita. How do you say
DeCorvita? Huh? You kept mispronouncing it all night at the party. DeCorvita.
Wonderful. Look at how the crowd got excited. Ah! Two guys in that room dropped their pants and fired a rocket.
Which is that?
Johnny calls him. He goes, which two guys?
Sitting next to the black man. Yeah, right?
Yeah. He always says the black guy.
Don't.
So he always says the black guy. So at this point, they started to call him. There's no black guy. So whatever he says, there's two guys. Johnny's like, you hear him in the background. Oh, which two guys? I don't see him. No, where are they? And they're just fucking with. Like, it's great to see, like, yeah, they were comfortable and just sort of affectionately fucking with each other. Just like we would do maybe on a podcast, that's how comfortable they were on. And TV was a big deal then. To see this type of thing is,
That's why TV was better back then.
Well, you know what? That's what I was just going to say. Like, so because they were doing what you sort of get to do now on a podcast, letting it breathe. Now we get to take it to another level. But yeah, back then. So I'm not saying, back then, that's the type I never liked to be. But there is some legitimacy to television when they had a little more time to let it breathe, and it got a little tighter. But this, you're right, these were fun interviews.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't do that on an hour show, and it wasn't. It was an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So they, but the...
It was an hour and a half.
You reap the benefits of it.
Had the Tonight Show used to be an hour and a half.
So we're getting to do on a podcast what they got to do on television back a long time ago. That was... But the difference also now is...
pictures.
What do you mean?
No, I just mean...
On the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one has to worry about what you look like.
You don't look at it.
Hey, by the way, that is an advantage of a podcast. Because, you know, I can't stop looking at the monitor whenever I'm on television. It's horrible.
Oh, really?
I just stare looking at the monitor, and I make jokes. I go, how many jokes can I make about looking at the monitor so I don't have to look away from it? I come out, even if it's like a morning radio television show like in Arizona, I come out and go, wow. I go, is that what I look like in the monitor? I go, every time I do television, you would think I never looked in the monitor, but I do. I look in the monitor. That's the same thing I do.
I would probably do that too.
They go, you look fine. I go, no. I move back. This every fucking time.
You do that on morning radio shows?
Morning TV shows. Morning TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
I made a mistake. Jesus, what are you going to throw?
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Throw me on the cross? The comedy cross? Big C? So let's finish listening to it. God damn it, why do I get so distracted?
Press, John.
So
you don't have to press. You. This is your show, and it's 11 years, and we all came here. We're missing a football game. Probably the Detroit Lions are on the 50-yard line, and what's that quarterback's name, the kid on the Lions?
Alvin.
No. You don't know football. The Rams are doing great. What's that quarterback? You played football. Landry, right.
Yeah.
Landry going, ha!
red on blue, hut set, hut, hut.
And the wife's saying, are we going to fool around? Shh, they're on the 50-yard line.
Hut set.
And this is a big night for me, and I gave it all up to...
Just to be here.
Be here on your 11th anniversary, and Dean was great. He happened to be standing on the corner, and somebody said, psst, you got a minute? And he just wandered in here, and it's an exciting night. But, Johnny, really, I say it's our Jewish New Year. And as Buddy can say, as a fellow Jewish man, not that makes us better than anybody else. I mean, even though you did take Christmas from us. Now I can see good Catholics and people all over the world writing in saying, why did he say that? Facts. But what I say is this, that this is our new year. I'll be off in a minute. Then you can show everybody your dad's home in Florida. His dad's a sheriff in Florida standing on the highway going, can you get me a lift? Anyway,
what year is this? I know it's 5,000 and something.
Well, who cares? What are you, in it's Laura?
No, but I just wondered what officially it is.
Well, it's a dead buffalo on a monkey's ear.
5734.
Wonderful. Get your winning ticket and go home early. I mean, he says that that's before our generation. I mean, that is our year, really. We take a ram's horn and we go, Vikings come in and burn the synagogue. But, look at that. The black man went, I didn't know that.
Look, what black man is that?
Where that's over there. The black man over there. If it isn't a black man, teeth are coming towards
I see. I didn't. Couldn't see him sitting over there. But you say there's one sitting there. There's one sitting
that's
there.
Right. Hey, for the money we're getting and for the lineup you have, you ought to start kissing our Fig Newtons. You know that. But I'd like to say on behalf of all
people... One thing I don't need, it's another wet Newton.
Funny, what were you doing 11 years ago?
11 years ago, I was in the lounge in the Sahara Hotel, yes. And I owe that to a guy called Stan Irwin and my manager, Joe Scandori, and I was in the lounge, and we used to do a show at 5 o'clock in the morning. And that's the first time I met you, and you sat at the far bar. Now, truth? Now, they think I'm kidding.
We had met before in New York, before you got to
the
Sahara.
That's right, when you had the daytime show, hit the clock, win a cookie.
No.
Hit the dime, hit the buzzer.
What was
that dumb show you had?
Well, it was called Do You Trust Your Wife?
You heard the crowd?
Yeah, well...
Everybody watched.
Kept me going for 4 years.
It sure did. And meanwhile, I was up in Connecticut at the Red Lobster watching a lobster come off the table going,
don't do that, I'm Jewish.
Anyway, folks, segueing. 11 years ago, I was in the lounge, and I'll never forget when I met you. And you sat at the back lounge, and I got so nervous, as I am tonight. For the first time history of The Tonight Show, I say with honesty, I am nervous. Nervous, not in the sense of worrying about my security as a performer, but... because it's like an anniversary, a special night. I'm being very sincere about this. And I must say to you, Johnny, on behalf of my family and myself and all your fans, and this sounds like a, you know, like we said in the Army,
yes, I know.
Making the nose go purple. The guy went, don't go purple. But what I'm saying to you is, I thank you for making my family and yours truly get a little bit up the ladder, and I appreciate it.
Well, I didn't have to say that.
I want to tell you, one night he's working in the lounge in the Sahara. And, of course, he's hilarious. And everybody that was anybody in town that meant anything come to watch him. Guys would cut their show so they can get out in time to watch him. I mean, he was the biggest draw. And customers couldn't get in. Everybody wanted to see Rickles. And one night he gets a guy at the bar and he's saying to him, come here, Nazi. Bite the stick. Kiss the ring, Nazi. Come here, Nazi. Hey, Nazi! Nazi! I'll show you this, Nazi! Stand up! And the guy stands up. Rickles on a stage. The stage is 7 feet tall. The guy stands up, and after he stands up, he's not on a stage. He's eye to eye with him. And Rickles says to him, hey, you want to spit on a Jew?
We're applauding. Why are we applauding after we listened to Rickles? Because we took a break and we didn't know how to come back in. Because
he's one of the best.
Because after we listened, we took a break, we go, then what do we do to come back in? We just listened to Rickles and here's what we decided. You're going to hear Don Rickles go, that's good, you're a hockey puck. And that's what we were hoping happened.
Well, listen, it ended with Hackett, though, right?
It ended with Hackett telling a story.
I love Hackett.
That voice is just great.
Nah.
Hey, is he here?
He's here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Buddy Hackett. Oh, you really here?
Yep.
Are you really Buddy Hackett?
That's me.
Still you are Buddy Hackett.
It's still what Alan does. Alan does, that's me.
Wait, what?
Why?
Hey,
what?
Hello?
Hello.
Operator.
Goodbye. Hello. ET phone me.
Hello. What song did I want to play?
The New Orleans.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah. So that's how we're going to go out. We had such a good time.
I think
with
the
that.
Name of it is Track 7.
Why don't you try to get, let's bring it in with more class than that. So anyway, I don't know how we would do it. It wasn't really
maybe we should just put the music on.
I don't feel good.
I think I'm going to be sick.
I think I'm going to be sick. It's a lot. No. It reminds me of when I used to bang a tin can against the wall. No, it reminds me of when I don't know why. I don't understand, doctor. Why does this remind me of the time I hit a tin can against the wall for an hour? God. No, that makes me fall asleep. I used to be tick-tock.
So you don't want me to do it again?
I didn't really listen to what I said. No, don't. Let's come in.
Okay.
What's the name? I keep forgetting.
Dixie Giants. Or Nirvana, I can't remember.
So let's bring in that music. And what we'll do is we'll bring in some of that music through the house. And then we're going to just go to a place and enjoy it. So that's where you're going to be when you're listening to it at home. Maybe you turn your lights out. You have a candle lit. Get your room funky. Or pause it if you need some time.
Wear a
funny hat, sure. You always add nice things to the already you got the music and the lights and the candle, and then you think, what else could you do to make it better?
Maybe a funny hat or a cookie.
A funny hat or eat a cookie. Oh, eat cookies while you listen
eat
to it.
Eat cookies while you do it.
Can I tell you something? I know you're tempted right now to go, oh, I want to just listen to it now and I don't have cookies. Pause it. I swear to you, it's going to be worth
cookie.
It.
Pause it, get a cookie.
A cookie. No. This isn't a cookie. This is a box of cookies. This is polish off a whole box of cookies.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm saying eat them until there's... Here's what usually you're going to do when you think you're going to do that. Unless you're trying to prove a point, yeah, I could eat two boxes. But just at enjoyment, I could eat two rows and then three or four.
Really?
Three or four in the next row.
No shit, really?
And then I'm proud of myself that I'd say, okay, that's enough. You're not
stuffed. I don't need a lot of cookies. I like one cookie.
Like what? What type of cookie? You could eat one Oreo? No, you're talking about a big bakery cookie.
I could eat one. I could eat one Oreo.
What?
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Love it.
How about one Lay's?
Oh, I love it.
How many bites do you take? Please tell me most two.
Are you a one Pringle guy?
One Pringle guy? I don't really. Pringles. Pringles. By the way, I'll eat some Pringles.
We bought you
crunchy.
Dinner. We bought you dinner for after the show.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah, it's a piece of pineapple.
Okay, I got
it's
it.
Over there.
Okay, I'll have a bite.
You seem so easy to please. No, but would you really eat one Oreo cookie and enjoy it?
Yeah.
Come on here.
Nowadays, when I was a kid, I ate so many Oreos.
I know, but doesn't one, if you said three.
What if you really get to enjoy that one?
Todd, you know what I will do? I will eat a whole bag of Cheetos.
You will?
Yep. I don't know why.
So you have it in you.
Oh yeah, but right. not with Oreos, not with sweet stuff. Not with.
I wish you would have told me that Cheeto story 20 minutes ago.
Wow.
Even JJ was upset. He doesn't usually care.
It's a pretty good story. Yeah, I should have said it earlier. The guy that doesn't understand why
so let's,
you.
Let's bring it in, and I have a real way with the smoothness. Let's bring it in. No, let's be like we're all just having fun, and then it just happens. Okay, so you just bring it in. Everybody act like we were just laughing. Here's how I really wanted it to end.
This
reminds me of the way
funny.
I felt at Corey's show.
Yeah.
Remember the show I was telling you about?
Yeah.
It feels like we're there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm there.
Sick tits.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.